F that nonsense. I don't like that. You have to perform on the day. If you go to a finals and you lose, I don't think you get to say, like, it just wasn't our time, you know, just nothing clicked today. It's just like, no, you f***ed up. That's what it is.
We have an identity. Our identity is just whatever the f*** works. Honestly. We are a jack of all trades. We are the master of none, but we are the masters of our own fate.
That people aren't ready. Maybe EMEA is ready for everything because it's the best region right now, in my opinion. Man. Sorry, Daniel, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You see, like, you have seen it.
What?
EU.
Take it one step further. If five emus won the tournament, as long as they're not North American emus, I'm going to be happy. So I'm pretty easy man to please here.
It's going to be so difficult deciding between F4Q and G2 Esports. For sure, Sentinels is going to be able to win against G2. And
do you think the G2 and F4Q is going to be close?
Yeah. This is what I mean by the disrespect.
I mean, people are saying great match between Sentinels and G2. I think that Sentinels is going to wipe the floor with them.
Let's talk about what we got on today. They put a timer in the bottom of the screen for me.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Anyway, we're going to talk about VCT Korea with Achilleos. We've got Vision Strikers and F4Q coming out of the region. And we're going to talk about Brazil with Gatti, especially Keed and Havan Liberty moving on to Berlin. What's the next one? I already got through 15 seconds. It's easy. We're going to talk about VCT Berlin. We're going to actually make our predictions. Now, I know that pick'ems are out today. We'll probably just talk about our predictions. So it won't be a pick'em in the traditional sense. But you'll know who we think is going to win, especially those of you that are going to try and steal their preds to try and make bets on the game. We know that you're doing that. That's fine. You're going to have some brains here to help you pass out who's going to win. But bear in mind, they're going to be pretty EU biased. Okay, 23 seconds left. What else do I have to talk about? Nothing. Nailed it. Why is there a timer on this anyway? It takes me 30 seconds to go through this. We're talking about adding unnecessary bells and whistles. Why are you keeping me on the screen now? I'm done. Yeah. There you go. You know what? Production just wanted to do the fucking sound at the end of the buzzer sound at the end of the timer.
Yeah. And they wanted us to clap just in case, so I'll clap now.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fucking hell.
There you go.
Yeah, really, really. thanks, everybody. Yeah, working on speedrunning this, the intro. It's a shame I can't speedrun the whole fucking show. Anyway, first topic we're going to talk about today. We want to talk about a bunch of the other regions, right? Because I know a lot of the time on this show, we really only have time for NA and EU, and even then it's like 2.5 hours. So, you know, again, we haven't had any sort of major tournament games that have happened in the last week or so. A good chance to go around the grounds and actually catch up with a few people. First up is Korea. And of course, welcoming back to the show one more time, I'm going to bring Seth on here. Seth King, of course, one of your casters from VCT in Korea. What's going on, Achilleos? How you doing, man?
Oh, crap. Look at him. All out.
There we go. I just want to squash this before we get into the thick of it. I'm not biased, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to come in here level-minded. Not going to be any bias for Korea whatsoever. I'm just going to have a nice little level conversation with you guys about their odds and who I think is going to be able to win Berlin.
What's on your top?
Just a team. I saw Mitch wearing a jersey. I figured I'd throw a jersey on.
Yeah.
Wearing one. This is a theme of everybody wear your
team
jerseys.
That's a shit jersey, though.
I mean, first off, it's a t-shirt, so yeah, it's already a shit version of a jersey. But then at least I'm wearing a team thing. Mitch Mann's wearing a fucking Fortnite t-shirt.
Well, Mitch Mann's also
not even the right game.
He's also joining us from 1976, based on the quality.
So am I, apparently. He's dragging me down with him.
Yeah, we got Mitch Mann being beamed in from the ISS. Yeah.
I can look. I opened Twitch and YouTube just to make sure everything was, like, fine. My net is okay, apparently, but... Here I am in 8-bit form. I don't know.
GG.
Yeah. Audio viewers, be advised that both Vans and Mitch, look like... I mean, I call them both moon units for a reason, but they look like they've been beamed in from the surface of the moon right now.
We're still uploading on the show.
Yeah, let the court stenographer note that these two's connections is absolutely shit. All right, Seth, let's talk about this bracket then, because we want to sort of go back to your VCT playoffs, right? We'd love to get your sort of feeling on, you know, what this bracket looks like to start with, right? And what expectations are at, because a lot of non-VCT Korean viewers are seeing names like Newturn and Damwon down there as well and thinking, okay, you know, this looks pretty scary in this bottom half of the bracket. And they maybe know F4Q, but know them as a bit of a, you know, they like to joke around a bit. They do a bit of trolling, so to speak. And they probably see Vision Strikers at the top and know about, you know, obviously the recent changes to that roster and know they're looking scary. So how do you view this bracket sort of if it's not filled in those first four games?
I mean, honestly, are we talking about like the Berlin bracket or are we talking about like the bracket there at the end?
We'll talk about your bracket. So the VCT, mm-hmm. So at the start of the playoffs, right, what your expectations were going in for Korea. So basically,
I would say that everything kind of transpired the way that I thought it was going to leading up to Berlin, like as far as teams that were going to qualify, except I actually anticipated that Dom 1Q was going to be able to make it over F4Q, but they were able to surprise there and had a really dominant show. I thought that Dom 1Q, after a bit of a rough start, had started really bouncing back in a big way. They were bringing a lot more strategy and well-thought-out team compositions into their play, and I thought that they were executing on it extremely well. So I thought that, you know, that more tactical style was going to just be able to outlast F4Q, but I was very, very wrong. F4Q, they absolutely stepped up in this series, and they stepped up this whole year through. It has just been a trending upward graph for the side of F4Q. So if you were bullish on them on the at the beginning of the season, then congratulations, like you backed the right team because they have just gotten better and better and better as time has gone on.
So looking at it too, because Dat 1 Kia, I think, were the team to fight against Newturn to try to qualify for Iceland, right? And then Newturn actually even dropped down quite early, losing to Dat 1 Kia in the first round of the bracket. So have they lost their touch now that they've lost Lakia from their roster for Newturn? How do they look now?
I want to say that I don't want to be like a Newturn doomer, and I don't think that anybody really should be. I think that there's still a lot of talent and great minds behind that roster to make it work. I think the problem is that the late addition, you know, granted the necessary late addition of 10X meant that they just didn't have enough time to gel. Like at the very end, like 10X looked incredibly good with that roster. It was actually the other components of the lineup and synergy that kind of failed them in their series in the playoffs, and that's why they ended up losing. He finally looked really, really great, but at the very beginning, like, things were not looking good at all, I think, for them. So I think it's just a kind of a matter of time for Newturn. Granted, you know, now that they aren't going to Berlin, we know that 10X is no longer with the roster. He was signed for the stage to try to make this qualification. Unfortunately, that didn't work. I think that genuinely they would have a really good chance with him if they decided to stick by him, but I think that as long as the core of that lineup stays together, they could add almost anybody and still be able to find success in the future. I think it just comes down to how much time they have to develop it.
Mm-hmm. I have a question actually about the format. Cause I see chat's going a little bit, talking about it, and obviously being from EU, you know, the pain, single elim, dog shit, obviously. But when it comes to how things played out, do you think that it would have went differently with a double elim if Damwon got a second run? Would FAK still be going? TNL. Versus, I'd heard some really, really good things about this team, and versus Vision Strikers, I did not see many, many good things about that team.
I think a double elimination could have actually lended to a much different look. I think that had TNL gotten another opportunity, we absolutely could be seeing them go on alongside Vision Strikers. So it would kind of be, you know, the former two sister teams advancing into Berlin alongside each other, which would have been really neat to see. But it's just the way that it is, unfortunately. I don't have any say in how the format's going to be decided. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about it, as I have now zipped back into 1990, so I'm catching up to Mitch.
Don't ever chat shit about our connection.
I think that TNL genuinely could have made that run if that was the case. They were absolutely looking like, I don't know if I'd go, I think I would say, second best team. I was second guessing myself for a second. Like, no, I'll just commit to it. They were looking like the second best team in Korea. And then I would have said Damwon, and then I would have said F4Q. So I think they absolutely could have been able to make a run of it.
Talking about the format, right? Obviously, you guys mentioned single elimination, but this is the GSL format, right? It's the same format that's in Berlin, I feel like, fucking hell, I feel like Korea had it right in the first place over a bunch of the other regions, right? Are you happy with the GSL style format for this, something like this, Seth, or would you have rather to see something like double elim? But double elim after group seems like extremely grandiose for, you know, this scale of tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, personally, I'm fine with the setup that we have. Like, I know that, like I said, a lot of people were complaining on Reddit and Twitter and whatnot, saying like, why the fuck do they have this format when every other region has like a double elimination set up? I think it's totally fine that once you get into the top eight, that it's just like you take your shot. And if you don't make it, you don't make it. You know, you have to perform on the day. So saying like, oh, it's just an off day for us, man, you know, it is what it is, like, fuck that nonsense. I don't like that. You have to perform on the day. If you go to a finals and you lose, I don't think you get to say like, it just wasn't our time, you know, just nothing clicked today. It's like, no, you fucked up. That's what it is.
Dude.
So I think TNL could have made it, they fucked up by not besting Vision Strikers, and they still are cursed, and they still have not taken a map off of them on a broadcast. They've only taken maps off them in scrims. That is it.
Yeah. Well, the issue is right now, too, is that I think for most of the people that were complaining about the bracket, at least in my opinion, and you're looking at this bracket, is that Korea, before you make it to the top eight, they had a bunch of different types of styles, right? The open qualifiers was group stage until you make it out. Group stage, you make it into, I think it was single elimination, into the top 16 or whatever, top eight. Then you had the GSL bracket to get into this format. So before TNL actually loses into the main bracket, they still had to win in the GSL format. So they into the group stages. So you tie that together and it looks like the GSL format. So I don't think the format is actually quite bad, because again, as Uber is saying, everybody's super happy in terms of like the pro teams seeing that Berlin is finally a GSL format.
All right, let's dive in. Let's talk about our two teams that you guys are sending, Seth.
Yep.
We'll start with Vision Strikers here, of course. For those who don't know, obviously this team gets a pretty big upgrade. They're playing with six players, right? This is a six-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, technically seven if you want to count Zest, who is...
Or eight.
Or eight if you want to count their trainee, Vince Zillian. I went back and forth about this earlier. But officially, yeah, like a seven-man roster. But I don't think that Zest is necessarily even going to be traveling with them to Berlin. So primarily, you're going to be seeing them work with a six-man roster. So, I mean, the recent additions have just been nuts. Like, Buzz was a question mark for me, because I was like, why would you want Buzz when you have RB? But that was me not knowing at all how stacked the deck was going to be for Vision Strikers at the end of it all. I mean,
Mako.
Yeah, Mako coming in to replace Glow is just absolutely perfect. You know, formerly known as Babo, he comes over. He starts playing Smoker for this team, and it's just been wonderful to watch. And they've been changing things up in ways that I didn't even anticipate. You know, like right now on your screens, like seeing King not on the lineup for them. Like, I thought King was going to be very much like a mainstay. He was going to be there alongside Stax. Those are the two that you don't really fuck with too much. But you know, they've shown that they're willing to have Locky and RP play at the same time. They're willing to have King subbed out. And I love the way that they're doing it. So many people come in and they're always just like, why Lockheed no play right now? I'm like, the reason is because the teams are, they're fucking smarter than you, and they have a strategy, and they've designed a strategy around him not playing right now, and it's working because they didn't drop a map until they dropped one to F4Q. So just shut the fuck up and enjoy the good gameplay. I'll admit, like, I was a little bit of a doubter at the beginning. I didn't know how well this was going to work. I was like, this is a lot of stack talent that they're adding to this lineup. But they've shown that they are willing to really utilize this six-man lineup and have it function beautifully. Like, it doesn't feel like a six-man lineup at all. Like, because no matter which component you take out, the synergy is still there. They're still all operating at 100%. And it's just wonderful to see, because no one really else has been willing or able to do this.
Do you think, though, in the future, when they've had, like, say, coming into Masters, for example, when they've had a little bit more time to put into Lakia, so let's say they're 100% ready on every map to have him play, do you think that they will aim for that, that they'll want to have Lakia as, and rather, they won't want to have Lakia as a rotating player?
That's, again, really difficult to say without knowing exactly how Vision Strikers have been approaching this development and have been approaching their scrims. Yeah. I think right now, like, with the way that it's worked and how much dominance they showed here in stage three, I would go with the, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it approach, and just be like, yeah, if rotating them out is really good and you get, like, you know, say one of them's out on the map or whatever, and then that other person can then feed information for going into the next map, like things that they notice. So you have like that extra, like, I'm a pro player, here's my perspective on like what we could have done differently, or this was our weakness on this map, let's try to fix that and tighten it up for the next one. I would say just keep it, because it's looked great.
Might be one of the only
six-man rosters that at least on the outside appears to have legs.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said, like I feel like no other team has really been willing to try to mess with this. So I think it's good to see that they went after like such dire straits in stage two and not making it to Reykjavik to be like, yeah, we're going to make this giant transition. And then they also made it work.
Yeah, I do feel that a lot of teams are trying to run like the six-man roster, or at least have a six-man roster outside of like North America and EU. I know like SCA and Japan kind of like have these six-man rosters. But honestly, sure. I feel like Korea Vision Strikers is the one that has a better established one, that it makes sense and that it gels well, right? Because North America, even EU, when Heretics had six players, it kind of like didn't work out. You just end up cutting a player in the end. And it seems to be like the same type of storyline for everybody else in North America. So I like the direction where Vision Strikers is going with this.
I mean, one of the things that stands out to me on why they're successful, though, with the six-man roster is because they haven't built a six-man roster. They've expanded a five-man roster. And I think that is something that so many teams have.
Sure.
Like Vitality, a great example, right? They start out, they're like, yeah, let's just pick up a bunch of really solid fraggers, chuck them on a team, have a bit of a lineup rotation when they go to the six-man roster, and hey, it's all going to be fine. This is going to be great. And of course,
it's already thought out. Yeah.
No, it really is. Yeah. I mean, you think about how solid your mentality has to be as a player to be able to sit back and watch another guy just take your spot, right? Mm-hmm, like, when you're not a team, when you haven't got that friendship and all that, you are six guys thrown together. Let's go play. Oh, you're not playing this map, by the way. It's going to feel pretty bad for a lot of people. Some people will respond negatively to that. Whereas what Vision Strikers have done is get a completely competent five-man team, one that they are comfortable with anyone in the region saying, hey, we can fuck you up with this lineup. And then they're like, but it's like fucking Yu-Gi-Oh. They're like, but we got a little trap card here for this map. Whoop, Lucky's coming in, and now you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you get used to one player's, like, positioning or their style of play, like, their aggression or whatnot on one map, all of a sudden it's like, well, we just removed that guy that you kind of, like, got used to, and then now the whole team has shifted their play style because Lockie is in, or because King's back in, etc. So it definitely can trip teams up.
They're gonna have, and this is the thing, right? It's almost like the reason that on paper a six-man roster looks good is because, say you're playing split, you can decide to play it with this comp or that comp. You can decide to play it with players. Then we go to agents and all that other sort of good stuff. So you're getting those different play styles, those different perspectives completely, and coming into the match, up until you walk up onto that stage, up until you load into agent select, you don't know which guy the other team's gone for. That's the problem. So you don't know which team to be prepared for in a way, which is incredibly valuable. So if it's done right, and by the looks of Vision Strikers are doing it right, it can be really fucking scary to play against that team.
The other thing I will say, like, that is like scary to think about is that coming into each day, in Korea at least, when Vision Strikers is making a sub, it is all pre-planned. It is made hours before the broadcast has started. They've submitted it to the admins. They're not allowed to do like an emergency substitution after a map or anything like that. It has to be submitted beforehand.
Yeah.
So they're extremely confident with the switches that they're making. And
interesting,
it's very clearly worked out this whole way through. I don't know what the rules are like for Berlin and if that's going to be a similar case, but that's how it was out here. So every single time that Lockia was subbed in or out, King, etc., that was all premeditated. It wasn't in response to anything that they saw in game. They're just like, this is the best read that we have for this map against this team. This guy's going to play on this map, etc.
Yeah. Can you imagine how terrifying that is to sit there and just be like, from a team perspective of, oh yeah, we're gonna play these guys, and we don't know who the fuck we're gonna play. We don't know what
How do you anti-strat that? Like,
exactly, right? Your notebooks have gotta be thick, man, going on that stage. God damn.
All right, so let's do this 2-in-1. I want to talk about F4Q briefly, but I also want to talk about the setup here in Berlin. So let's have a look at F4Q's group in Berlin. We can kill two birds with one stone. That might actually be Group D, right?
Yep.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. So. Group D, Sentinels D2, Bren Esports, F4Q. First of all, this roster now, I think everyone's starting to take them quite seriously, right? With a win against Damwon and they go up against Vision Strikers in the final, and maybe, you know, people aren't expecting too much from them there, but their split looked good, as a lot of teams tend to be able to, you know, pick that split map against more established rosters and get decent results here. What are your thoughts on F4Q's chances here, realistically?
I think that, like, they're a little bit rough, but overall, this isn't terrible for F4Q. I don't see them beating Sentinels. I think that I give a lot of credit to Shazam with how he preps for teams. And I think that him being able to get a read on F4Q and figuring out, like, you know, where Bunny is going to be trying to entry, because that's pretty much the plan for F4Q for the most part, at least on their attacks, is, you know, round over round, which side is he going to try to enter on? I think that he's going to be able to get a decent sense for that. I think that the other teams, though, they absolutely could struggle and they could be caught off guard a little bit more so. Like, they're going up against Bren at the very beginning. I think that that should be fairly easy for the side of F4Q. We get that. I mean, people are saying great match between Sentinels and G2. I think that Sentinels is going to wipe the floor with them. And I think that F4Q could absolutely do the same versus G2. I don't think it'll be nearly as one-sided, but I could absolutely see them dumpstering that team. I watched a bit of EU, and, you know, I come on this show because I come on this show because I can curse, I can drink, and I can say whatever the fuck I want. I was not impressed. I thought that what the matches that I watched in EU, especially some of the G2 ones, were sloppy and ugly. Mm-hmm. And I think that F4Q absolutely excel in sloppy and ugly. I think that they are just, they're going to just run the chaos. Like, I think they could run G2 around the map. That being said, I think it'll still be somewhat close because G2 is not a bad team. But I think F4Q could take that and take a second seed in the group.
Interesting.
I really want to stand up, you know, put my shield down, stand behind it, defend the region, you know, but yeah, no, I'm
aren't you already standing?
Fuck you. I think G2 are going to grow a little bit between now and then, but you can say that for absolutely every team, so it means fuck all. They looked really bad when we last saw them, so in my pickems, I've given G2 the win over fuck to make it through in the lower side, but I don't know how much I believe in that, and I certainly won't be surprised if it goes the other way.
Can I just clear this up real quick though, because I've had people ask me this. I've had like Plat Chat ask me this. People are saying like, no, it's like fac, right? Like it's pronounced fac because it's supposed to sound like fac you. It's like, no, it is F4Q. That is what they have been called since they debuted in First Strike. That is how it's pronounced. Stop saying
why
fac.
Though.
Well, I mean, it was pronounced like that in First Strike because he had to be like politically correct. You can't just go on broadcast and say fuck during broadcast.
You say that. Go back and watch the intro video that introed all of the teams in First Strike. When you say it in Korean, it's F4Q.
There you go.
F4Q. Wow. And that ran on that video about 18 times because they said, yep, it sounds like fuck you, and that's funny. And that was produced by Riot. So it is not about being politically correct.
All right, let's talk about Vision Strikers in Group A then. Let's carry on here. Anytime I bring anything up about Riot, these two clam right up, Seth. So yeah, we'll try and put something else in front of
you. Smile away, boys.
All right, so we've got Vision Strikers here going up against Paper Rex. Mm-hmm. And then we have Supermassive Blaze and Ascend here. So Vision Strikers in this group, I mean, this is fucked. This group is fucked up. So obviously they'll have to go up against sort of the top EMEA seed, I guess, or one of them anyway, at this point.
Yeah, but does that matter? Does that carry much weight? I don't know. Hang on. I need to have a little bit of my anti-bias elixir real quick. So Skip that down.
Yeah, he's just a tad, yeah.
Let's dive into the group. I mean, easy first match for Vision Strikers, but like you said, the double EMEA is definitely a bit rough, and that kind of caused a little bit of concern for me. But I think that they still have it. I think that Vision Strikers is such a smart team, and I was again talking to Vansili before the show started. Going over like kind of their odds, and I also had another interview before this, which is actually what I'm quoting. It seems like Vision Strikers has like machine learning built in, and if you beat them for a couple rounds, they really start to learn how to adapt to it and what you're doing and how to beat you. So I think that even if one of these teams, whichever comes out on top, starts giving them a tough time, I think that they are going to be able to adapt and overcome because they have a ton of depth behind them. They have, I mean, just so much experience. All of these players are individually fantastic, whether it's with strategy or fragging. They also operate like a hive mind. So at any given moment, if something goes wrong or if something goes well, on the other side of the map, they all know how to converge and how to execute on it perfectly without having to communicate too much. Like, no one has to take a break and say, like, this is the game plan for, like, you know, 10 seconds before they execute on it. They just kind of have this, like, flow chart system where if this happens, we do this, and then they respond to it instantly.
I like that train of thought, because it almost feels like New Turn when we were watching him towards Iceland. It was like watching them on Vine and Split was little micro adjustments that they had, you know, playing a breach, I think no Sentinel on Vine, but still moving a couple of agents here and there and taking advantage of like one side of the map that's not being taken care of before. I think they're really good for New Turn to be able to do that. So if you had the same school of thought with Vision Strikers right now, but with the skill set that they have, I'm actually on the same side as Achilleos, that I think that they might be able to do this.
I think, like, I'm with you, because I've got I have Vision Strikers coming out in my pick'ems as well.
Yep,
man.
But looking at that bracket, that group, it's so shit, man, because I really think that between Vision Strikers, as Supermassive Blaze, and Ascend, you could easily have any... two of those teams go through, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, if Paper Rex make it, I'm going to have a fucking heart attack. that's no offense to them. It's just they've got some really fucking good teams. Paper Rex could maybe shoot for, like, I reckon if they made it to the top eight, they'd be over the moon. You know, they would be insanely happy with that kind of performance.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's going to be expecting them to make it out of groups. But the other three teams could be either of them, you know, and it really... really sucked the way some of the seeding went down on that group, but I think Vision Strikers make it out as well.
It is what it is. I mean, we knew that this was going to be a possibility well in advance of the actual draw. There's a staggering amount of people who said, like, wait, how was there two EMEA teams in the same group? It's like, well, we knew that this was possible based on the rules that were laid out. So that's how it happened. It just unfortunately happened this way.
Well, it also, the more teams that you get, the more team slots that you have, the more likely it is that you have multiple teams from the same region, the same group.
Yeah.
You have more, EMEA has more slots than any other region. So there's a thing.
So we should just.
And now you can fucking fight each other to get out of groups, bro, right? I don't make the fucking rule.
it's definitely a bit of an anomaly, but it is what it is at the end of the day. And unfortunately, there's nothing to be done about it. But like I said, I'm very much on the train of, you win on the day, and if you don't, then you deserve to lose. You know, you didn't perform. Mm-hmm. And I will uphold that if Vision Strikers loses out of this group, you know, whether they're beaten by Ascend or Supermassive, if they get beaten. I mean, I don't even want to speak that one into existence. But, you know, if they lose, then it's because they didn't deserve to advance. And that's kind of just the end of the story. But I think that they will win.
All right, there you have it. All right, Seth, we're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit about SEA in just a moment. But thanks for coming on the show,
man. No problem.
And thanks for your unbiased points as well. It's good to have a little bit of, you know, cheers, middle of the road takes.
What do you mean? I'm always biased.
All right.
See you, Seth. Thank you.
That group A is fucked up. In fact, both of them are really brutal groups.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, notwithstanding what we see from SEA, whether we really see them come alive. I think... Pesto Enthusiast, I mean, he really wanted this question answered because he tweeted us and he also put it in the chat. If both SEA teams go out in groups, this would mean that they get no circuit points and that X10 would actually qualify for champions. Now, that team is not in great shape at the moment, because obviously Patapan is on a break, and he was on a break specifically to, you know, probably get in form for a potential champion showing or whatever. But I mean, are we cool with this? Like, this is a result of, like, there being a circuit structure where, like, a team who is relevant way earlier in the year and does well and then falls off still gets that invite to champions. What are your thoughts?
I haven't fully looked. Did you say that they won't get any points? Because it says they get 175.
Oh, maybe not enough points.
Or rather, okay, that's like already what's being taken into consideration, I guess.
Yeah. Because I think X10 did not finish last, right? In Reykjavik, it was like maybe like Breeze, it was like Sharks and somebody else, I can't remember. Nonetheless, I don't think that they got the full bottoms. That means that you should get
it
points,
was
right?
crew and Sharks, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Games.
One of the things that interests me, sorry Vance, finish that point.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say that technically they would have more points no matter what.
Yeah, they have them cashed up. So one of the things that that kind of interests me then is when you look at team's performance in the upcoming Masters event, like, it's going to be pretty important for next year. These events are, this event pretty much, right, mm-hmm. is going to be the litmus test for coming into the structure of next year, which is probably going to be decided before Champions in terms of how it's going to work. And yep. say, for example, a region comes in and gets just fundamentally shit on. For example, best example, because you could make the argument, oh, only one team came from here, only two teams came from here, whatever. If EMEA came in and they lose all their games, they all get grouped, then a serious conversation has to happen about, do we give them this many slots next year? And that applies to every region. I think there's a lot of pressure on these teams, not just to represent themselves, to get to Champions and so on, but to keep their region in any sort of high regard. Like, if you come in, get shit all over, well, then maybe your whole region's dog shit and you shouldn't get more than one slot next time around. And that's a little voice in the back of your head that's definitely going to play into some of the younger guys.
Yeah. At least for now, looking at like the Korean scene, I think it's nice that we're going to be able to have two, because we already had like only one in Iceland due to like this COVID restrictions and the amount of teams that we were allowed to have. Mm-hmm. So to see two coming in and to see how both are going to do, it's actually going to be quite nice. Because even New Turn, like they got what, third place, right, going into Iceland. So we did not expect that. I did not expect that. I was seeing that version one was doing quite well. So I do like the chances of Korea into Berlin. The thing for me is, as we were talking about Vision Strikers, is Lakia comes into this roster, but also not only plays one map, which is Bind, but he also only plays Sky. When we always saw how Lakia was so amazing mechanically with his Hunter's Fury as a Sova during Iceland, and that's where we discovered it, it's just now like, okay, well, what's going to be like the key factor right now, the winning condition for Vision Strikers, again, if Lakia only plays one map? So do you focus on Maka right now as the controller? Do you focus on other players like RB that's going to start popping off? And all those questions, they could be just answered by yes, because they have such a full roster and different types of play styles with the players that they have on this roster now.
Let's move along here and start talking a little bit more about our Southeast Asian region, right? Because like Mitch was saying, they have two delegates, but also this region has a lot of sub-regions, right? Like Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines, Singapore. So, I mean, we saw the big flow chart of qualifying, and like there's so much going on in the SEO region. So a lot to break down, and to help us do that, we're going to bring in for the first time to the show, Dax Casts, to help us make sense of the region. Hey, Dax, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, man. I just need to breathe real quick. Gonna be inhale a lot of SEA copium, guys. Because you have to believe that SEA can achieve. Come on. This is
I fucking love it.
So much energy for this one. And the sun is down, but man, SEA, we're rising to the top, guys. I'm happy to be
here. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You should tell that to Paper Rex in the chat, who've already said F for Paper Rex in group. They need a little bit of motivating. Hey, Dax. Because this is the first time we've got you here, we'd love it if you could tell us about yourself before we jump in.
So I actually am a VCT SEA caster. I've been doing the Philippine side since stage one, week one. And happily, we were chosen as the Philippine talent pool to do Masters 1 for SEA, Sea Challengers 2, and Sea Challengers 3. Before I went to the Valorant, I actually was casting Overwatch in a similar way. I'd say to what I'm doing right now, Open Division, all the like, I was able to actually meet you over once in NYC, all the way back in the grand finals for that one. So, small world, happy to be here, man. And really goes to show, I guess, I get to sit at the big boys table for like 20 minutes, and I'm happy with that.
Hey, look, we're glad to have you here, man. Obviously, you know, there's so much going on in terms of qualifying for VCT globally that, you know, these three dickheads here on the left of the screen are not enough to cover it. So first of all, Dax, let's jump in. Let's have a look at your bracket. Can we bring up the SEA qualifying bracket here? So it's this double elimination. This is your VCT playoffs, right? And I asked Seth earlier on about this, but I'd like to ask you now as well. So take us back to the start of this double elimination bracket, right? What are your expectations for the two teams that you expect to go through? And are those expectations met, or do we get surprises and upsets?
First things first, thank you, Opal-sama, for finally giving us double elimination. Finally, we got there. But of course, as a caveat, we had that incredible group stage where, maps maps come, maps go, and camera bugs happen. But besides that, really, Brent Esports and PaperX, these two teams have been on the uprise. Brent Esports, honestly, this team from the Philippines, they have been stepping up bit by bit. They knew their mistakes from Masters 1. They knew their mistakes from Sea Challengers 2, and they finally made it here in Sea Challenge 3. In the meantime, PaperX, honestly, looking at this roster, they were, I'd say, the best team from CS coming in to Valorant that came as a unit. They made a single roster change in between Sea Challengers 2, Sea Challengers 3, just because they understood that Valorant is a completely different beast. And putting in Sheba over Tommy, it was just like, okay, we need someone to play that Sova, and we need him to be exceptional, bringing back a player from the, well, a previous iteration of PaperX. But going down to the wire, especially the upper bracket finals, the grand finals, we got to see glimpses of the best of each team. And honestly, of the worst as well. The time where Bren Esports lost 13-1 to PaperX, that's not indicative of what Bren Esports is all about. PaperX losing 3-0 overall in the grand finals, that's not a good indicator at all, because you look at the score lines, overtimes, scoreboards as close as possible, and you look at those close games, those are the ones that really represent how good these two teams are, and they are absolutely neck and neck. My heart, honestly, guys, as a Filipino, it goes for Bren Esports, but when I look at PaperX, I feel like they're already at their best, but they still can go to the moon. They can get even better. And coming into Berlin as the group of death, this is the best we're going to ever see them, I reckon, because that's the situation they're going to thrive in, guys.
Yeah. And just to chime into that, too, that 3-0 in the grand finals, I think you take it with a grain of salt, right? Because at that point, both teams already qualified. And even and the same as in our region, too, right now here at DAC, is that in NA, when it comes to like these seeding matches, let's be honest here, we don't really give a fuck about them. So sometimes you just don't really play your best. I know like the prize pool could be sort of important depending on the regions too, but I think now that you've already made it to the point where you've made it to Berlin, you're just happy enough, and it doesn't matter what their final result is. So to see the dominance from both of these teams, from Bren and PaperX, through the bracket before until they qualify, then it's nice to see the play style that they brought in. My question then comes in now to, like, what about the other regions? What did that look like, right? Because, you know, I'm Vietnamese, and I'm a fun. I love the fact that we actually have Valorant in Vietnam right now, too. And I remember Crazy Guy is, like, one of those guys, like, I think he was playing with CXG, or he was playing with, like, a bunch of different Vietnamese teams because they're still trying to find, like, their powerhouse team in the region. But what was it like looking at these qualifiers? Because I think there was two Vietnamese teams over in the bracket. Was the competition like close? Did it look like a little bit one-sided for a couple of regions? What do these other regions need to do now to catch up?
Let's focus first on Vietnam. Amazing re-debut, basically. They weren't in stage one at all. They came to stage two, and in all honesty, it was a bit of an ill preparation. They weren't really as ready as you'd expect for VCT. But coming into stage three, especially Crazy Guy and his team, big bam. They came in with a big boom, and they were just so, so dominant whenever they had it. If you think top five operator back then in CS days for Crazy Guy, he is just top clutch Sova of SCA. And not many expected Vietnam to get this far in the first place going into SCA. Also, same case for Indonesia. Alter Ego finally making their debut in VCT after getting cut time and time by Boom Esports, by NXL, which is disbanded. They finally make it there, and they make an absolutely big splash. And there was that whole storyline that their match, it had to be postponed because they didn't have internet, and they ended up playing at the Boom Esports camp just to play their match against Big Bam. This it's interesting about SCA, guys, is you can never have a match without a technical pause. If you have a match that has a technical pause, that is the miracle. That is Christmas in July. And it's just an expected outcome already. So as an SEA region, we're just like, okay, you have problems, sure. Let's see if we can postpone it. We'll have the match later on, and Alter Ego proving themselves. But overall, back to your question, Dervasli, I do feel like it's just because Brent and PaperX have improved a lot more compared to the other teams from the other regions. It seems like right now that SCA is moving forward in different aspects of history. Back in the late 2020s, when Valorant first came out, you had the war of AHQ from Taiwan versus Attack All Around of Thailand. And then for Masters 1, Sea Challengers 2, it was the extended eras. X10 Esports with whether it was Poo One Tap or Patipan at the helm, they were at the very top of SCA. But now, when the throne was set for someone else to take it, well, Bren Esports, PaperX, they're willing to share it. They're willing to prove themselves. And it really goes to show that SCA as a whole, we have an identity. Our identity is just whatever the fuck works. Honestly. We are a jack of all trades. We are the master of none, but we are the masters of our own fate. And that's from awesome. What we see is SCA always adapts, always changes. They try out what works at the very top. And eventually, some of them will say, like, screw it. We'll play the way we know. That's just how SCA works. And
yeah,
that's it's difficult to study, not only because of the language barriers, but also the meta is both a, I'd say, it's like a microscopic view of other metas of other regions. But then you just watch SCA and be like, this makes no sense. But once you're thrust into it for long enough, I see it now. My eyes are open.
I love it.
That's SCA.
I love it because I agree with you, man. First off, fucking everybody give Dax a fucking follow on Twitter, man. This guy's fucking awesome. I love your attitude. I love the way you present yourself. This guy needs fucking more desk work. I want to work a stage with this guy. But Dax is talking about, like, sometimes for ESCA, you just play what you know and you play to your style. And I think I've noticed that from X10 and Patipan when they were going onto the stage in Iceland. Because you look at every team, for example, like Vikings that started practicing against the international teams and they realize, oh shit, our play style's not working and they're starting to get shit on. And then the same thing for like Sharks and Crew, for example, too. They came overly prepared and they kind of like doubted their own play style. But then Patipan is another one that just didn't give a damn and just kept rushing around as a Jet or going as a Sage, doing whatever he needs to do, and was still making it very competitive against their opponents. So I love the fact that they have like a lax play style and that they trust their own, they're confident in their own game. And I think, I don't, like, let's be honest here, I don't think they're going to be able to upset, but I know that they're going to be able to make something challenging against the teams they're going to play against in the groups.
I mean, I'm no stranger to seeing SCA teams just come out of nowhere and be really good. We see it from Thailand a lot in the Overwatch World Cup in the past. It's a very common occurrence. The first World Cup we had, Thailand were like a legitimately top team there, and we're very scary. Let's look at the groups then. Let's see, these SEA teams in the context of the groups that they had to fight through in Berlin. So Group A, of course, is where PaperX is. And, well, I mean, tough one. Getting out of this group is definitely not going to be easy
for
this
team. They really wish they won that finals now.
This is where
yeah,
it's so true. This is where seeding matters, guys. You say first, oh, you know, it's all good. We're all going to Berlin. We're one big happy SAA family. No, now PaperX is in the position where they not only have to deal with two incredible EMEA squads, but Vision Strikers, which is basically one of their biggest scrim partners. And I think as soon as I saw the bracket, I was extremely excited for both SAA opening matches for Group A and for Group B. Because PaperX, Bren Esports, and many of the top SEA teams, they actually scrim Korea quite a lot. So when you start an SEA, first you look at your locals, and then you look into the region. And then when you feel like, okay, the region can't actually know our secret strats, we have to hide these, you go to the Koreans, where you just say, scrim okay, and then they're like, okay, we're good to go. Seeing PaperX meet up against Vicious Strikers, seeing Bren Esports later facing off against F4Q, I feel like the scrim bucks are finally going to get cashed in. And honestly, for what we're gonna see here is there is a chance because there is that familiarity. My biggest concern, honestly, for SCA right now is how they deal with it, how they deal with EU. But you could say that the same thing in conversely, like suddenly G2's gonna be like, if they end up facing off against friends, like, what the hell are they doing? What are we gonna do against this? And same thing against PaperX, who from hearing from some interviews, they are very, very excited to potentially face off against Ascend and CNET specifically. That would be one to watch out for, who can just out-duel the other. And having that familiar base for SCA can give them the guts to still continue on as their playstyles, because that's what thrusts them into Berlin. That they can't just, okay, we're facing off against EU teams, we have to play their style. Facing off against NA, we have to play their style. No, they have to keep the identity in check. They have to keep whatever's been working so far so they can show their best performance. Because if you look at some of the raw stats, like especially PaperX, you check out Forsaken, highest, I think, impact as the Jet. I don't know the exact stat. I know there was a match where he had 49% headshot percentage in the whole series. So, I mean, it's a fun stat, but it's still a big one. And it really goes to show that these talents can never lose sight of who they are, or they're going to be the SEA that everyone expects that. Okay, 0-2, 0-2, they're out.
So one thing that's been on my mind just going through all of this is, what does your name mean in Filipino?
Oh, first things first. So it's supposed to be just D-A-K-S, that's right. But yeah, unfortunately, for the Filipino, if I just do that, you're going to get a lot of dicks. Like, let's be real. This is a podcast where I can tell all. And unfortunately, I know in another dialect, it kind of is a euphemism for a big one, a bit big, fat, schlong, if I may say. But you know, you have Forsaken. Okay, you have Forsaken. People are going to give him that word.exe shit. It's like, oh, he's going to take that one. I just own it. Because my mom and my dad, they're like, okay, your nickname is Dax now. And it's because my name is too freaking long anyway. My first name starts with a D and just an A like and a K.
Just like the schlong. Yeah. Oh,
well, the thing, guys, unfortunately, I can never prove that on any broadcast. Because
on this website.
Goodbye. Man, see you later. This is where I write a tweet longer and say, thank you, esports, for everything. Sorry.
Yeah, so even OnlyFans, you know, they could take credit card payments now too. So, you know, you could start one up.
Okay. Let me make one right now. Thanks for the idea.
Really, really glad we got to this yes. part of the yes. conversation. Yeah, we descended very quickly. Look, Dax, that aside, obviously, you know, you paint a really vivid picture of your region. It sounds really exciting. Love as it. Well. I like this conversation about identity and about how your team. Your region really sounds like the MacGyver of, you know, Valorant regions, just put together what they can and sort of make it work here. And they're going to have to, man. Before we let you go, which of these SEA teams do you believe can perform better? Which, obviously, you said your heart sort of is with Bren Esports. Do you think they are the better representative here, even if by only a small amount?
I think this is like a very serious discussion because of how Bren took it against PaperX. They put themselves in a better position. If it was PaperX in Group D, I would go with PaperX. Since Bren right now in Group D, they have a better chance. FRQ, incredible team. But the thing is, if you want chaos, SEA brings it. And I feel like that's a battle that Bren can take. And G2, they're a roster from seeing what they've accomplished so far. When it does evolve into chaos, they can play, but can they actually handle it? And I feel like also, G2 is a roster that is designed to take down the likes of, maybe a small hot take here, the likes of Sentinels, right? The likes of those really, really top NA EU teams that have that notice. But Bren Esports has been under the radar. And I gotta say, it's not that hard really to look into SEA. It's just from the usual medium of NA EU, it's just barking off the wrong tree. You guys especially use Twitch, Reddit, right? That's how it is. Here on SEA, the Philippines especially, Facebook. Everything is on Facebook. Yep. For Indonesia, Instagram. And Google Translate is your friend if you want to figure out what all the symbols mean along the way. Yeah. But it really feels like there is that baseline. But since they're hidden gems right now, and then they get the international attention, there is that potential to upset. Mm-hmm. For me, though, overall, just wrapping up the question, I think Bren can go further thanks to their position. And because of that, this is going to be a big one. Since whichever of Bren Esports and PaperX makes it further into the bracket will be the ones joining X10 in Valorant Champions. But there is a very slim chance if both Bren Esports and PaperX make it into the top eight, make it past the group stage of deaths and into the playoffs, they actually kick out X10 and take the two slots of Valorant Champions, putting X10 and LCQ. So really, it's going to be a tough one for them. But I believe there is a chance because they have that home ground that they can build on versus Korea. And it's all about that surprise factor versus EU especially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Dax, thanks so much for a great synopsis of your region, I think, man. Really good to get a bit more of an idea of what the identity of SEA is going to be like going into Berlin. And yeah, good luck with the OnlyFans career, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's time. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much, Big Schlong.
There is like there comedy. I think good comedy has a layer of subtlety, Vance. Just a small amount of it. You know what I mean? It's more about like what you imply instead of just saying it outright. Anyway, great to have Dax on the show. And yeah, look, you know, he points it out pretty effectively that like it's very sporadic, the SEA sort of coverage, and obviously a lot of technical issues and language barrier and stuff like that. And there's a different platform to try and follow the conversation on based in what country in Southeast Asia it is. So
yeah,
in that sense, you know, definitely feels pretty fragmented, but they come together and they've all competed, of course, to send the two delegates. Good luck to them. We don't have a guest for our Japanese VCT section of the show, so we are just going to talk over sort of what we know because, you know, VOD watchers, yada, yada. Let's talk about Japan also had a double elimination bracket here. So,
yeah,
they had a pretty grueling run through. And, you know, this Zeta Division squad, we're getting hyped up a fair bit, mostly because they're fucking team photos. They just look really intimidating. I remember that going on Twitter. But looking at this region, right, I think a lot of people were expecting Crazy Raccoon to still be a factor. And I think Crazy Raccoon weren't so bad in Iceland. I think they showed us some decent gameplay. Again, definitely showed that the region was a little behind, though.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at Zeta Division, though, it's a team that we know them under a different banner before. I think when the beta first came out, it was Absolute Jupiter that was like the top of the charts before Crazy Raccoon came out. And for example, BB Ignis. And Zeta Division is actually Absolute Jupiter plus one more player that they brought in, being Makiba. So it's another team that runs into a six-player roster where their matchup here, I think they had this rematch, right, against, I never know how to say their name, so we're just going to call them North or Northception. What I did like about Northception, even though they didn't qualify, was that they almost had like this fanatic style of like just rushing into the site of Bind, do this double wall. And they have a pulse plant from Viper Snake Bites, not from short A, but through teleporter going to B and fucking throwing the Snake Bites into default spot and showers. That was actually quite cool to see. But for Zeta Division, we didn't see that much of that tech. What I liked about Zeta Division is that it seems as though they pick an agent pool that is going to be based against their opponents because they have like two or three different types of agent pools. Agent compositions for Bind throughout the tournament, and then two different ones, I think, for Ascent, or it's vice versa, right? And switching things up depending on who they play against seems to have had the better factor. Here is like their rematch again against North, where the first time they played against each other, Crow was actually playing KO. And it looked pretty cool because you guys know me with my KO stonks. It was nice to see that they were using him before, but at the same time, they were really predictable and one-dimensional. Is wherever that zero point is going, there's going to be a fast execute on it right after, and boom, they go for it. But then you go into this matchup when they're actually using Breach. You now have some sort of tech combination between Crow with the fault line and the gravity well from Makiba, and then an aftershock comes out, and they're able to get a double kill from short A into Gelato. So the tech is actually quite nice in terms of like the chemistry that they have as a team, which is very similar to what we know Absolute Jupiter and Vision Strikers for in the beginning when Valorant first came out in terms of like the synergy of these agents that they could bring out to the team. So that was pretty cool to see. And I even think that he looked better than Crazy Raccoon in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Zeta are one of my favorite teams we're going to actually get to see. I think as purely as aimers, they're fucking crazy. And we got
exactly.
Robbed. We're not really seeing them on an international stage previously. Like I actually think that I tweeted it out that Zeta would win in their group. Like they would take down it's Envy, right? That they're going to be up against,
yes.
Presumably, right? Providing the opening games go the way
we
think they will. And I genuinely think they could beat Envy because I mean North American teams are dog shit. But
yeah, no, that, whatever, not Envy. I'm just saying yes, just so you can have your 5 seconds. But go fuck yourself.
I got a lot of faith in these guys, honestly, from having watched them a little bit. I mean, I've been taking a little look through some of their Twitters as well. Laz especially. Holy shit. Hit some incredible shots. I think, like, they can bring it when it comes to the firepower, which, honestly, is the main issue
whenever
it comes to that side of the world, right? Like, SEA competing in Counter-Strike. Some of the guys that we saw, Bren, they've got Wits and Borkum, who used to play on Bren in Counter-Strike for a long time. I got to cover them for a month and a half. That was fun. But moving into Valorant, you know, I'm looking at Zeta and I'm thinking, okay, these guys, they've been together a long time. They've worked on themselves, right? They're a solid team when it comes down. They're not playing six metas behind like Brazil when they came over internationally. I like how they play, and I think they've got the aim to back it up. So really, this is someone that I can see contesting for a top four spot.
Yeah, because I think two players to look out for in that team that are cracked aimers for me are Laz and Takaje. I think Takaje, when he was playing with like with Absolute Jupiter, I think he was playing more of like the Breach or even like more initiator support. But now that they put him on like this duelist and even playing Sky from time to time, and you could also have a Sky pretty much play as a duelist, he's been really fucking good. Like, he turns some rounds over for Zeta Division in the qualifier games. And Laz, I give him credit because he kind of remind me of like a Derek Overwatch almost when he's playing the Sova. He's like really cracked and snappy when it goes to those burst shots in close range. But his Sheriff is actually really, really good too. So I look out for those two players for Zeta Division.
And one thing that I'll circle back to when we do a show after Masters is the conversation that we had around single elimination when it comes to late stage versus double in the playoffs. And the reason that I like double is because in the main events, so in Masters, for example, I do not like double. I don't think it's a good idea at all. I think you play your groups and then it takes all the excitement out if you have a lower bracket match. No one really gives a fuck about, like, the hype is there for the upper bracket, but the elimination is there in the lower. And it's kind of, it just makes it a really weird vibe. And it's like, oh, they've lost now, so they'll play tomorrow and maybe be out or maybe make it to the finals. It's not conclusive. I don't mind that when it's a qualifier purely because I want every chance for the most consistent team to make it through, which one-off performances don't necessarily show. And Zeta wouldn't have made it through if it was the same format, if it was a single elimination format. So if they do extremely well, I will forever use this as my example to justify that. And if they do poorly, we'll forget this ever happened.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet because I don't really know if Vance is going to go to the effort of dredging it up and be like, well, I remember how you said that, like, you prefer double elimination.
I don't know if he's that. Because he knows I would do it to him, he'll probably do it to me.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Crazy Raccoon. We spent a lot of time talking about Zeta Division here in this region, but Crazy Raccoon, obviously, they also feature in the finals in the JP region, and it's a long series. It's a five-mapper. You know, definitely Crazy Raccoon is still a team that can, you know, put pressure on here. Bazzy and Munchkin, of course, at least are of South Korean origin. I know them from the Overwatch days here. This team, again, you know, qualifies for a Masters event.
Yeah. Even if you're looking at this team for Crazy Raccoon, they actually, what, have a seven-player roster right now? So in that Grand Finals, all seven players played. Although I think we would get more out of their upper finals to make sure that they qualify through, right? Because they still lost to Zeta Division in the Grand Finals. But again, it's seeding matches for me. It doesn't really matter. But their matchup to win against Northeption, honestly, I stopped watching after this first map because it was fucking stupid, to be honest. Like, Not to like discredit on the teams, but Northeption, the way that they played this map on split was that every time that Crazy Raccoon put a Sage Wall up, what did they do? Counter Sage Wall up, boost four players, and then try to just rush in and fight. And there were a couple of rounds where like Seldom just stays behind because he's not able to get boosted onto the wall. So he's standing behind both walls, just spamming down both walls of the Vandal, trying to break it open while his teammates are dying. So there was no good coordination going into this matchup where it's like, where is that North team that I saw when they were playing against Zeta Division? So after that, I kind of molded, and then I stopped there. Mm-hmm. But to see that Crazy Raccoon won that pretty comfortably, they went 2-0 throughout their whole tournament as well, throughout the whole bracket before they qualified and made it to the Grand Finals. I think that there has been some improvement from Crazy Raccoon from Iceland. I'll at least give that much, right? But is it going to be at the moment where Neth could actually have that redemption and like at least win a map, at least win a series? Or again, I think their goal is at least to win a map. If I remember the sad interview that we had with Neth when he got eliminated, right? So hopefully they'll get one map.
I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a blind man shooting a three-pointer on this one, but I have a pretty good feeling. I know where the basket is. I think when it comes to Crazy Raccoons, when they're playing with a seven-man roster, this is another example of the damage that it can do. Because one of the main problems I see when I look at this team is when it comes down to synchronicity, right? And that is something that's not very easy to build up when you have seven players on the roster, when you're constantly dealing with different methods of communication, different styles of play. It's a lot to work with. But again, I've heard things from within the region that they're improving a lot, that they've worked a lot since the last Masters. You're seeing a little bit of that, but I just don't think it's going to be enough to push them to that top half.
And just to sidetrack a bit, talk about this roster, because I know some people in the chat were talking about it before, like, will we ever see, like, more six-player roster, more seven-player roster because of what Vision Strikers are currently doing? I like to say that probably not, to be honest with you guys, because the more that we're going to have agents coming in, maybe if you're looking at that type of style, then maybe you want to bring more players in. On a pro side, though, nobody wants to join a team and just be on a bench, especially if you're going to be coming from North America. And the second thing, too, is that there is so much tweaking that's happening to these agents that there could be at some point that agent is totally nullified. And if you specialize in that single agent, then your job is gone. So you actually have to make sure that your agent pool is going to continue to be deep so that you could synergize between five players, maybe six players at max. But I don't see like the 8 or 9 player roster coming into Valorant.
Nine players in Southeast Asia. A year ago I was covering the AOC Masters. That's where I was seeing all these teams that we were talking about. Dax was saying earlier, like Alter Ego and Boom and these kind of guys. And I remember the graphic came up and it was just like, it just kept going. The players came up and they're like, and they're over there and over here. 9 people. And every map, it was like a different team playing.
Yeah, you have sister teams essentially, almost.
You scrim.
I mean, in the final,
you don't need a B team to scrim. You just scrim yourself. Really weird.
It's what's wild to me is that Zeta Division, they have 6 players, right? But Crow played 5 different agents in 5 maps in that final. He played Breach, Viper, Sova, Sage, and Yoru in that series.
It's insane.
So many different looks.
Crow is going to be, I guess Crow is like kind of like the sick going in right now too, like being able to just play different agents right now for his team. It's pretty nice to see.
Five is extreme. Yep. That is mental. Anyway, let's talk about LATAM quickly. They have one representative coming out of that region.
Yep.
And so to my understanding, did LATAM North and South have to play off against each other? That is the result here, right?
So basically you had a LATAM North group stage, and then you had a LATAM South group stage, or playoff, sorry, in both ends, and then the top 4 of those go play or the top 2 of each go play in LAN. It was a LAN finals, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool to see a LAN finals once again. And I guess to me, to be honest, it's like no surprise to see Crew being able to make it into representing Latin America again. They actually look pretty good, actually, in this BO3. I think that, first off, if you're already looking at this composition, you already see that there's been improvements or some sort of way that Crew wants to evolve with the meta, bringing Sky into the mix, bringing Astra into the mix, where they're trying to do like the whole Viper... Sova and Brimstone, kind of like what Liquid was doing on Haven, and it didn't work out too well, right? It was a scenario where Cruz seems to be overstudying the meta and tries to apply that into like a high profile tournament, and it didn't just match into their playstyle. This one right here against Astrals, they played so fast, dude. It was so quick that these slight mistakes happen from time to time. Like this wall to come up, cover my back. He can't even get out of the wall, so he has to defuse and Neoman's covering him. It was kind of confusing, but it still won the round. And I think there's still that leaks into their strategy, as like they want to work into the meta of trying to apply Sky a lot into their strategies. But there was a lot of team flashes. There was some sort of miscommunication from time to time in their rotations. So if it's going to be a whole W Brazil style and hit a site really quick, really good at it. If that gets slowed down into the first 10, 15, 30 seconds, mid game, late game, that's where it's like they still need to find their footing, where they just stand still for a bit or can't really figure out how they could rotate the map.
Is that going to work for a team like Crew in Berlin, right? This extremely high pace of play?
Not when you're running against NAU teams that are going to run the likes of, you're going to have Sage, you're going to have Astros, you're going to have Skies to deal with. There's too many things that I think that they might get a couple of rounds with that, sure. But the adaptation that's going to be there from these top level teams in the majority of regions is, I just think that LATAM in general is far behind. They have been far behind, and they've maintained that kind of course. And we're waiting for like a Goliath to come out of that region to really say like, hey, first of all, give us more fucking slots. We deserve them. Second of all, we're going to win your fucking events. Right now, I don't see not only Crew, but I just don't see a team within the region that can live up to that hype.
Yeah.
So Crew goes forward. LATAM South, definitely the dominant region for sure, looking at the way that tournament played out. Impressive stuff. And hopefully Crew can put up a bit more of a fight. It definitely didn't really look like they were ready in Iceland.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, another region that maybe didn't perform as well as we had expected them to was the Brazilian region. And we want to talk about that today. But to do that, we're actually going to be bringing in a little bit of help, a little bit of extra muscle to cover this one.
Hell
so
yeah.
I want to take this opportunity to welcome to the show for the first time, Gutty. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Real pleasure to have you. For those that maybe don't know much about the Brazilian scene or even you, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your background?
I'm very happy to be here. Sorry about my English. It's a little bit rusty, but I'm honored to be here.
May I have you muted? I don't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Gutty. I think in Discord, we can't hear you. They can probably hear you on the show, but...
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Might just be a microphone
thing. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, hey. Yes. There you go.
Oh, boom. Okay. Nice. Okay. So hello again, everyone. My name is Gachi. I was a former coach of Vorax. Vorax now merged with Haven Liberty. So probably you didn't see us playing a lot of games. Because before Vorax, we were called Fusion Fraggers. Is this jersey I'm using. Let's chat did a review from us, and I know a lot of Vixen and Crane that were both my players back then. So I think we can expect a lot of Brazil on nice. Berlin right now.
Excellent. Can we talk? Let's have a look at the bracket here for Brazil's playoffs, right? Because I think that you know there are a lot of teams that we may be expected to see once more. Right, Sharks are in there.
Yeah.
I know Vikings also in this bracket. So many people that sort of maybe aren't involved in that region very much see those names from Iceland and go, hang on, this region has changed so much already. And they fall out in this first round. They go down to the lower bracket.
Yeah. If you see Sharks did a boot camp on Europe, I think it was on Serbia. And it was about 20 days or 12 days. I don't remember exactly how many days it was. But when they come back, we imagine, oh my God, Sharks will be like a Megazord here and will destroy everything. Because when you see EMEA, you expect a lot. So if they are training with the best teams, what do we have here? And on the first match against Vivo, they did it. It was a clean 2-0 for them. But on the next match, I don't know what happened, but Fria simply destroyed them. It was incredible for us. We did not expect this. And after that, when we see the rise of Evocade, because Vivo didn't do very well on the previous stages. Mm-hmm. If you see, they didn't qualify to stage 1 and 2. Here we have 3 stages on Brazil, so they didn't qualify, and they got the seed 8 on the last qualify. When you see this, and they are a very new team, because after Iceland, many things changed here in Brazil. We have a lot of changes on the roster, and all the Vivocade players were free agents. Vixen was from Vorax. We were... Well, if you know, Riot doesn't allow a CEO have 2 lines on VCT. So once they merged with Havan, we were all dismissed. And Vixen joined this team that is Vivo with Hit. Hit was one of the best duelists we have here in Brazil right now. I think how you need to know that Hit is good. Imagine if you see the match against Game Blenders, on Haven, he dropped 37 frags on 22 rounds. So, it was incredible. It's amazing. Yeah, not bad. It was a common day for him. No, if you see his ACS now, it's giant. I don't know how to explain how he's making this. And he's incredible. Awesome. When I look with Vivocade, I see something... similar to Sentinels, not the gameplay, but you have a star there, like things. And the team as a group can make this star shine even more each day. You see? And Haval Liberty, you will see more a team-based team working very well, creating his their own meta. So they are more similar to 100 Chiefs because both teams are playing with three initiators right now.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So can we dive a little bit deeper and talk about? I guess we can. Well, we have some footage of Haval Liberty here as well now, because obviously your time on Vorax as well, and previous to that, you sort of mentioned you have a bit more of an understanding of this team. Mm-hmm. They beat Furia in that upper bracket final, right? They beat them 3-0 in this series. Can you talk us through how this goes? So starting with Bind, of course, which is 13-7 result here, where I mean Crane has a fantastic game here on the Sova.
Yeah, no, Crane is one of our best players here in Brazil. If you see, there is one clip of him against it was 3v1 and he clutches like brilliantly. And I think what is happening right now in Brazil, it's similar to what 100 Chiefs is doing. You have only one team here playing this play style. Here in Brazil, we almost never use it, Breach. So when you have one team bringing this all new agent that nobody uses, no one knows how to play against him. So when you see Haven playing, it's a very similar way to Vision Strikers, because you have Missing, that is, if you don't know, he has the biggest rate on headshots right now, 46%, if I'm correct. Wow. Yeah, it's the biggest in the world. So he knows, he's become a very flex player. He was back then on 2020 main cipher, and now he's playing everything and playing very well. So when you see this matchup, which every team here in Brazil started to copy Fnatic, you know, let's play Viper and Brimstone, or in this case, Kalil was playing Omen, and you have a new composition coming, it surprises everyone, because no one knows how to play. And I think this slow pace, like Fnatic play Bind, doesn't work when you have like teams diving you. With Jet, in the case it's Rays, but Rays and Sky jumping on you very fast, so they can't stop. I think the best round for Furia was the pistol, when KCK could stop their entry. But once you can't stop, if you can predict where they are going, they will explode their bomb. You know, it's a lot of cooldowns coming. You have drones, two drones coming, spots, bangs. So everything working together makes them have a very explosive way when they want it to explode.
So,
I just noticed that Misen had a 48% headshot percentage for that 48. Series.
48. Holy.
For the series. For just that series, yeah.
Yeah, for the series. Bad. But at all, he has 46, so it's amazing.
Depending on how many frags he got, that's some aim and a half.
Top fragged. He top fragged that series. Yeah.
Nice. And that's what you kind of know like Brazil for too, right? And that's where I wanted to actually get the question to from you, Gati, because when we first previewed or started to get to learn about the Brazilian scene leading into Iceland, even before then, right? Gamelenders was like the team to beat. And then suddenly Vikings comes out, and then Vikings is a team to beat, but Brazil was always known for two styles. One is like this whole W being very aggressive, and the second one is the duor bala, right? The two-shot type of spray, right?
Yes.
So now that you get into Iceland and Vikings and Sharks realize how this aggressive playstyle doesn't work for them, and that the type of shooting maybe is not the best for Brazil at the international stage, has that like shook up how Brazil is currently seeing Valorant right now? Is the playstyle more different? Is the spraying different?
Yeah, everything is different. I think what happened in Iceland was mind-blowing for us, because when you see what we were used to play here, we wasn't playing even with Jet, so it was a little interesting for us how everything could work here. You see Crude, back then they were playing like the similar comp that Liquid played on Haven, and oh my god, it was so boring to play against them. You know, you couldn't do anything on the map. You know, you have gravity wells everywhere, alarm bots, and you after they have a slow stage. So even then, here we didn't want to play with Jet. I don't know why. Like in Vorax, we loved to play with Jet, but the other teams didn't play. And I think when we went to Iceland, when Vikings and Sharks arrived there and started screaming, they noticed, oh my God, everything I do here is wrong. Nothing, anything here works. So yeah, they had to change everything, but not in a good way. I think now in Berlin, that we have these both teams that have the unique play style, they believe so much in what they are doing right now, that even if they start screaming there and say, oh my God, nothing works, they won't change. Because we don't have any days to practice there. I think they will arrive there two days before the match, something like that. So it will be very risky for them to change anything. I think the worst part of what happened on Iceland is that we looked at Fnatic so much and say, oh my God, everyone there is so flex. We need to be flex. So the teams didn't understand that what we were doing wrong here is about the tactics, the micro and the macro play that we were doing. Dominating sites, dominating certain areas of the map, like Gambit does so pretty well. And we just, let's be flex, and everything's okay. So when you see Vikings nowadays, they played almost the VCT finals with the same roster, but everyone playing a different role. And this did for them not pretty well. They didn't go good on the matches. And on the last match that we see against Vivo, they started to play like before Iceland. Mm-hmm. So I see you back to Sova. And then they started to feel confident again, to win some maps and everything.
But
we need to understand what our tactical isn't perfect right now. We need not just to be flex, but understand with what we have to do on the map.
I see.
Okay, so let's have a look at the groups here again as well, and maybe we talk about the chances of sort of the Brazilian region this time around. I guess we can look at probably Group B first. We'll look at Group B first, right? So it's Vivo Keyed versus Team Envy in the first match, and then it's Crew and Zeta Division in the second match. So Group B, what do you think the chances of Vivo Keyed sort of getting out of this group? Right, it seems like slightly weaker than some of the other groups here, maybe a good chance for them to advance. What do you think, Gatti?
I think it's a very well balanced group. I think Kate has a very similar play style, similar to Envy, so I think it will be a very nice match to see Heat against Ye. They play like, if you see, I remember that Envy was playing Ascent right now with double duelists. It's not very common, but to see around the world, because Sky is so strong, why aren't you using Sky and using Raze instead? But I think once you have these duelists shining, that is Heat and Muris, is a former player from Overwatch 2. So they can bring, they can make everything work together, because Maurice finds himself now playing as Reyna on like this Breeze map that we are showing. And if you let him play on these maps that I think Envy likes to play is true, Breeze, Icebox, and Ascent, probably Maurice will and Heat will give them a hard time. So they have a very good chances to qualify, in my opinion.
Okay. I think that would be good. I think a lot of people have had very high expectations of the region in Iceland, and obviously things didn't go that way because of just maybe a misconception in sort of maybe the best way to play. But
yeah,
this is a different situation. Teams don't have the chance to mix things up on the spot, like you said. So they will play with the style that they develop in their home regions, and they won't have a chance to change it. Let's talk about that that Group C, right? Now, that is Havan Liberty's group here. They go up against 100 Thieves. You kind of mentioned that you felt like they were similar to 100 Thieves in a few ways. They've got to go up against them in this first match.
Yeah, because if you see both teams use three initiators, of course, 100 Thieves use KO and Havan uses Breach. It's a very different play style when you have both. But when you see triple initiators in both comps, it'd be very nice to see. Because if I remember correctly, 100 Thieves, since First Strike, was trying to innovate on North America playstyle. Yeah. You know, using a lot of Sage, Sky, yep. and now they are discover which comp they will shine. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to Havam, because back then on the first, before Iceland on the qualify, you see that Havam plays a lot of similar to every Brazilian team with Jet and Rays, but when you are copying everyone, you can't shine. You yes. see, so now that they find this composition that they are playing, this clip that you are showing, I think is the best part of Havam. You aren't able to plant the spike, never. You are always being surrounded by, oh, shock darts, and now gravity wells, and now stuns. Everything is falling apart while you are trying to plant. Another beautiful clip of this happening is on Bind versus Vikings, that they spend like, I don't know, 40 seconds, Vikings trying to plant the spike, and never made it, because always you have something happening around you. So once we see this clash of compositions totally new on the world, I think the only team on the world tried to choose three initiators was World Start Gaming on Korea, and it didn't work. So I think now this matchup, it will be very nice for us to watch, because it will be completely new. And who can adapt more and understand the limits of their composition will probably win.
I like it. I actually like it too, because even looking at just looking at the groups, that you're saying how Havan Liberty looks like 100 Thieves, and how Vivo Keyed looks like Envy. We always talk about like this group of death in the E group, or how it could be, I guess, not as much Group D, but because even if the organizations don't have like that clout, right? It's not high profile matches because it's not high profile orgs. I think the play styles and the matches themselves, respectively, in Group B and C, are going to be quite interesting to watch for Envy, 100 Thieves, and for Vivo and Havan. So I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, it will be very interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things that really interests me is that, you know, we have seen the constant shift in EMEA, at least, of teams not playing just a Jet. They don't do that really anymore. Like, players have that extra little bit of swing, even if it's going to be just going onto a Sage. Even CNED did it, who is, you know, world-renowned as a Jet. And then I looked at Vivo Keyed, and I was looking back through their games, and I'm like, okay, eats on a jet, and it just keeps going. And he's delivering, though. I'm curious, how do you think he's going to stand up against some international competition, like if they get to play against CNED or Tens or someone like that? You think he's got the firepower to really bring it to them?
Yeah, for sure. I think Havan Liberty is now the best team we have here in Brazil, because they are innovating. I think the worst match we could face right now it would be with Vision Strikers, because they know with how to play against Breach. Of course, Emea knows too, because everyone played Breach when he was buffed with three banks. So I think when you have this composition totally new, Liazzi playing Raze only on Bind and Ascent, if I'm not wrong, they can deliver very new stuff that people aren't ready. Maybe EMEA is ready for everything, because it's the best region right now, in my opinion. Nah. Sorry, UNA, but it's the truth. You see, like, you have seen it. You have a so strong region that they are kind of prepared for everything. Every time you hear about EMEA, you have, we have 30 teams very strong, competing itself each day on screens. So these make you become ready for everything. Yep. I don't know if it's true or not, but...
Not true.
Not true.
All I'm saying is, right, Sharks flew all the way across the world to play against the MEA, and they could have played North America from where they were, and they didn't, because obviously they needed, you know...
No. Actually, you turn it around. Sharks went all the way to EMEA to practice and boot camp for 20 days, and they came back, and they still lost to a Brazilian team and a Brazilian scene that's still trying to find their identity. So what now?
That's RNG. Yeah. You know, triple elimination bracket, we solved that issue right away. I got a question for you, Gaddy. This is a hard one. Throw a little curveball, because you've been on point with your answers you're giving. So I want to ask you, it's very easy to come on and compliment your region, right? Everyone that's been on so far, oh, we're great. We love this. We love that. If the Brazilian teams lose to whichever region, what do you think the reason will be? Like, what do you see as the weakness of your region coming into this, or the kryptonite?
I think the structure here in Brazil isn't very good, you know. When you see, you were talking on, I think, the last show about our calendar for the last of the year, right? So in Brazil, we have the same issue. But another issue is like our salaries here are so low that players can't focus only on play Valorant, okay? Like a huge salary here in Brazil, it's $600. It's very low. At least for me, it's very low. So when you don't have this structure for everyone, even for the greatest teams, it's very difficult to train. Because most of the teams that we can scream here are free agents. So they don't have the support. They don't have coaches, staff to teach them what they should do. So like in Brazil, I'm focusing only now on streams to something like what Jane did on Overwatch to make everyone on the community understand what we should expect for the game. So I think for now, it's very, very difficult for us once we don't have the experience, we don't know exactly what we should do on the map to win some kind of games. Because even when you start getting stronger, what I mean by that, now we are trying to do a slow pace comp like EMEA did. Oh, let's dominate this area, gain control of our orb, take some ultimates, then try to enter the site. Here in Brazil, you have one or two, three teams at maximum doing this. So it's very difficult to someone punish you when you're doing something wrong. You see? So when you go to these internationals like Berlin or the Champs in November, we need to, on this only 2 days of screen, understand everything. So it's very difficult to us to shine, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it would be an interesting thing to look at a comparison between a top 10, let's say, so like the 10th best Brazilian team, what their weekly schedule, like their scrim schedule, look at that and then compare it to, you know, a number 10 EU, number 10 North America. And I bet that you're talking probably double the hours when it comes to the European or the American teams, because like you're saying, right?
They can afford to.
These guys are exclusively gaming. They wake up, they think about Valorant. That's all they have to do. Whereas, you know, other people might have to work jobs or go to school and all that sort of stuff. So it's
really
important insight, because a lot of the time people will be like, oh, how can this region not be as good as that? And it's like, yeah, well, you know, we're not all in the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. If you see, once almost every team here in Brazil is free agent, we have a lot of talking on Twitter saying, oh my God, everyone is canceling the screen. So, oh my God, please, guys, don't cancel. Or if you must cancel the screen, please tell us earlier. Can you schedule a new one? So it's very, very difficult here to see a team shines, you know? Mm-hmm. As you said, everyone needs to, when you wake up and think, oh my God, maybe I don't have salary this month because you can be dispensed of your organization because just, I don't know, 8 teams can take prizes on the championship.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And the prizes even are so low because the dollar here is so expensive. When you see the winnings, like the finals now, the Vivo Cage won, they took $12,000, I think it's too low for a championship so great, you know?
That's between 5 players then, is it? And the organization and the coach.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's nothing. You're probably getting $1.5K each out of that after you
exactly. pay the
organist. It definitely gives us like a different perspective from like how privileged we are in fucking NA and EU, where we always talk about seeding matches, and it's like the prize pool is like, who gives a shit about the prize pool? But for the other region,
$12,000 extra in first place. Come on,
But it is important for the other regions too. I think that's where the prize pool also comes into like a bigger play for these orgs as well. And maybe it's time to even find a way that these orgs could look to support the scene a little bit better when they're signing teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Gatti, thanks so much for your time. We're excited to see what the Brazilian region has now in Berlin. I think you've probably raised some expectations, my friend. Yeah.
Thank you very much, everyone. It was very nice to be here. It's an honor to see and talk with you guys. I follow you since the beginning of the show, Uber, since Overwatch 2. So I'm very happy to talk here about a little bit of Brazil.
That's awesome, absolutely, man.
Thank you.
Obrigado. I can't wait again to see more, man. Yeah. Have a good one and good luck to your region.
Boa noite.
All right. So, gents, I mean, yeah. Eye-opener, I think, getting to hear from some of these representatives from their regions, right? Really colors the stakes a little bit more for me in Berlin, which is great. After the break, we're going to get Yinsu on the show. It's just, somehow we have to come to a consensus on fucking predictions for Berlin. I don't know how that's supposed to happen with 2NA, 1EU, and me on the show. But we're going to, excuse me, 2EU, 1NA, and me on the show. I don't know how that's going to be possible, but anyway. I mean, we can vote on it. We might have to vote on everything, and I'll just have to abstain to get any sort of fairness. But I know that's how that's going to go. Anyway, we'll be back after the break, everybody. Yinsu's going to join us. We're going to try and predict Berlin. God fucking help us. We'll see you in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Valoranti on the other side of our brief break, of course. We just heard from a bunch of different representatives from VCT regions that maybe are just maybe underrepresented to Western viewers. Great opportunity to hear about Korea, SEA, and of course, Brazil in a little bit more detail. Off the back of that, it still falls to us to have to make some form of predictions, what we expect to see happening in the group stages in Berlin. To help us with that as well, it's not exactly balancing the bias. It's definitely tilting in one particular direction, but that's fine. To help us with those predictions, we're going to bring onto the show once more. Joining us is going to be Yinsu Collins. Great to have you here once again.
EU. I wanted to use this mask for so long.
That's
finally
amazing.
I've got my G2 mask and my Ascend shirt, a super massive
Fnatic jersey.
Where's your Alliance jersey, Mitch? Huh?
He's wearing a Fortnite t-shirt.
Another gaming jersey where Mitch Ben just missed the fucking mark today.
Yeah.
Even Gatti had a fucking jersey on, man.
Supermassive Blaze, they don't deliver to the UK right now, so I'm big sad. And Gambit said they will give me a jacket in Germany. So
okay.
This is as many as I can rep right now.
I've been looking for a Gambit jacket for literally 3 years. Who did you
sucks to be
I've been waiting for one since Doja Sex God in fucking CSGO.
Oh,
still can't fucking find it.
I mean, that's true. People would eat up that merch in the West. I'm surprised they aren't. Yeah, I'm surprised they aren't marketing it. It is what it is. I'm sure in the future, especially if they do well in Berlin, there'll be even more demand for this kind of merch. We have the enviable task, I guess. It really depends on your perspective of trying to make predictions about who gets out of these groups. So we all get to pick two teams to get out of the groups. Some of these will be contested, I imagine, and I encourage you to discuss them. Some of them might be pretty straightforward, but we're going to start with this bracket, right? And
the easier
one. Say again?
The easier one to predict.
Yeah. We'll start with Group A, Van. We'll go in the order we've got here. That's fine. All right, Van Silly. I would like to know who you think is out of this group. And you can explain to me in what manner they do it. That's fine. But you need to obviously choose two teams.
Yes. So at least if I have to choose teams directly right now, then Vision Strikers are going to make it out. So one of the EU teams is not making it out. And it's actually going to have to be Ascend.
So what, you think Ascend is making it out?
No, Ascend is not making it out of group.
I don't know what you're smoking, Vans, but I want some. Give me some of that stuff. Oh, shit.
They are not making it out of group. I know that we're hiring a horse about Ascend with EU for the whole of stage three, but once we got into the EMEA playoffs, I didn't think they looked as impressive as, you know, when we were watching them through the qualifying stage. I think Supermassive Blaze looks way better. Gambit looks amazing. I actually have those two teams being higher than Ascend. And then now I have to go into like, okay, well, why Vision Strikers over Ascend into the decider matchup is because I do believe, just like what Achilles was saying before, is that Vision Strikers will actually have what it takes to just be the machine and learn how Ascend is going to play, learn how CNET is just going to run around and adapt to that and just shut them down. I think that Vision Strikers are going to get the upset and win over Ascend. I can't even call it a
CNET. So much more. There's so much more than just CNET, though. I'm sick of this narrative. Like, it's not. If CNET doesn't have a good day, that does not mean Ascend loses. It actually means the very, very opposite.
That's true. But I still think that also for Vision Strikers, there's a lot of firepower throughout the whole roster as well, right? There's not only one player that's able to shine. So it's a lot into the firing power that Vision Striker brings, plus like the great strategy that they bring out into their region. I think that it's going to clash very well with EU matches, and I think just very similar to what we've seen with New Turn into Iceland. I just think that Vision Strikers have what it takes to play against the top teams in Europe.
Do you get two map bans per team in Berlin in a best of three?
I think it's still six maps, right? So it's going to be that dumb seeding, the dumb veto. Gotcha. So upper seed will pretty much have the upper hand of two maps in their map pool, which is unfortunate.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I honestly think that Ascend could beat Supermassive Blaze and get out. I think that the last time they played it was that split map as well, and I thought if we had like a bigger pool, you'd be able to ban that split. If you're Ascend, maybe you don't play that, but I have a little bit of trouble thinking that Vision Strikers don't get out. So
yeah.
But anyway, Mitch, who do you think gets out of this bracket? Here we go. Let's hear from you.
I'm the same, actually. Yeah, I went Vision Strikers, Supermassive Blaze, purely for the reason that I think, based on recent results, we can't count Supermassive Blaze below Ascend. I think that would be a disservice to the games that we've seen, a disservice to Turkey. And when I look at Vision Strikers, I think that they're a team that can compete pushing into the top four of the tournament. So it seems very difficult to believe that they would be knocked out of this bracket. That said, I've said on Twitter a bunch of times, I did a tweet when these first came out, which was the two teams I thought would get out of each one. And Group A was the only one that I just put the three of them down. Because I actually think, like, you can neither be angry with someone else's picks or you can't be surprised at the same time or confident in yours. Because with the exception of Paper X, I think it's... there's a pretty decent chance that they go out of this one. I think they're favorites to be last. You could literally just juggle or pick out of a hat the other two names. Like,
sounds like you're protecting yourself in advance here from Yinsu's prediction.
I've been looking at Yinsu's face as I was talking and thought, fuck, I better cover myself.
Yo, Mitch's predictions are worse than his internet right now.
It's true.
I think Forsaken, actually, have like a 40 kill game, and who knows, that could be against Vision Strikers, I could be against one of the EU teams, but I don't want to underestimate him too much. But having said that, I'm on the EU train here. I'm on the EMEA train, not even EU. I think Ascend and Supermassive Blaze make it out. I think the first match will just be a giant fucking meme. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult if you're a Turkish fan. Like, who do you support that scenario? I guess CNET has more fans, but still. And then I think from there on, whichever team that doesn't make it, whichever team that makes it goes through in the winner's bracket will just not lose. Like, I think if Supermassive Blaze goes through, I think they beat whoever they face. I think Ascend goes through, they beat whoever they face. So yeah. I believe that's the only time these two teams are going to face each other. And I think the same for the other team. So if Ascend drop to the loser's bracket, they beat Paper X, and I think they beat Vision Strikers. And I think both teams go through. And that's why they send me the merch, Mitch.
Why are we putting Vision Strikers so low on this list here, Yinsu?
I'm not. I think Vision Strikers are, what's that mean when it's like, I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me. Mm. I think the EU teams aren't the ones that are unlucky in this scenario. I think it's Vision Strikers that's horribly unlucky. I don't think they deserve to be in this group. I think they definitely should have been in a fairer group, in my opinion. I think this is ridiculous for them being the best team, like, not just in Korea but in Asia, right?
Yeah.
So I feel really sad for them, but I don't think Ascend or Supermassive Blaze should be too scared. I think we're past the time where everybody is stealing shit from Vision Strikers now. I think Vision Strikers might even be stealing shit from Supermassive Blaze. They've got some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also think my prediction here is such a soft prediction. Like, I'm with Mitch in, like, anything can happen in this group, and I don't think anybody can be 100% in their prediction, because it's just not possible. But my biggest worry, actually, for EMEA is that Vision Strikers have been playing on LAN, like, since the dawn of time, since like the beginning of Valorant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna be hella scary to go up against. Like, we saw how good Newtown was, and I think it really helps if you are constantly playing on stage.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit wary, but like, am I really gonna come on here and not back EMEA? Like, come on, are we serious?
I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, one could say the same about Mitch, but here we are. I think
he's a traitor.
Both have the same. We both have the same amount of reason to back EU. I would say
he's a traitor. He's a traitor.
Paper thin threatened me. There was comments about bodily harm, so I have to swing with Vision Strikers on this.
He seems like the like maybe Seth might just break the soju bottle and brandish at you, but I can't see Paper Thin really threatening anyone.
Quiet ones, man. It's always the guys you think you're safe around. Those are the ones that can fucking really hit the kill shot. I'm not messing with them. Vision Strikers.
One of you had a send going through, right, with Vision Strikers, didn't you?
I had Supermassive Blaze with Vision
Strikers. I have VS and a send going through. I didn't really do it because we've already got three people on here to make predictions, but I think a send. I went back and watched that match, and I was like, this split map is just fucking stupid. Like, if this map isn't here, the series looks so fucking different. So, yeah, I think a send have a good chance to turn it around. I agree. I also don't think it's a CNET show. This seems fucking insane.
Also, real quick, someone in the chat said, I hope Ascend flop hard. It means that Fnatic in Champions is almost a guarantee. That's not true. If you want Fnatic to go to Champions, you kind of wanted Gambit to be the ones that flop hard, not Ascend, because Gambit have points from Masters, more points from Masters than Ascend do right now. Mm. I mean, like, Fnatic, I'm sure they know this already. Like, they're going to play last chance qualifiers. Like, there's no way that, you know, Ascend and Gambit both kind of get out. And also, Lion, it's good if one of them wins. Like, we want Ascend to actually win the whole thing, because that means Fnatic are 100% going, and we get three teams already going on points with our last chance qualifiers.
If not, if you want Fnatic to be guaranteed, you just have them both bomb. So you have Ascend and Gambit and Supermassive Blaze. They all bomb, and then Fnatic still goes, and then we're all good.
I mean, I want Fnatic to go, but I want Ascend or Gambit to win it. Like, I don't want us to go and can't take second place again. Like, we want these teams to win. And obviously G2 and Supermassive Blaze. I know we're going to move on to G2, but the disrespect I've seen from people towards this team is angers me.
All right. We'll get there. Let's go Group B first of all. We will get there. Look, Group B, obviously, feels like in some senses might be a little more cut and dry to some degree. Vance, let's just start with you here, and we'll go down the list.
Okay, so I think this is harder, actually. So aside from Envy, that's going to move forward, actually, between Vivo, Crew.
Wait, you think that they are guaranteed to win their first game?
Yeah. I'm on the NA hype train no matter what. So Envy is going to make
Through. Okay. I thought you're on drugs today.
Listen, man, I got a great shout out from Crashies as he tells me, like, Vancilia, I love that you never give up faith in us and that you keep cheering for us. So I'm going to keep rolling on that train. So we're gonna have Envy move forward.
Good. At least we know that your predictions come from some sort of intellectual honesty. And
I mean,
just trying to make people happy.
I want to know who Vance thinks is gonna win if you end up having two NA teams in the semis.
Look,
or something. Like, what do you do then?
You just explode.
Then I'll be able to choose.
It's like dividing by zero for you.
We are gonna divide the first place medal, pretty much.
Yeah.
No, but at least for Envy, I get shoutouts, and for the other teams, I don't get merch like Ginsu. So at least I'm like, my mind's like, you know, conversational.
Vance, here's what you do. You fucking shit on the team every week. That's what you do. You get fucking angry about them. And they try and appease you. You're doing this wrong, bro.
No. To be honest, though, I'm saying that as a meme, but honestly, like, ever since Ye came into the roster as well, and also since Marv came into the roster, they've had, like, they've solved for me the issue that's been keeping them from moving forward, too, right? Having somebody consistently play as a controller, having somebody consistently op as a jet. Which, unfortunately, off the cost of Caboose and of Mummy, you now have Ye and Marv that's going to be making this roster complete. And they've looked really good. They look really dominant. I know they didn't win the qualifiers for VCT, but at least they qualified and they made it through. They got, what, third place, I think, if not mistaken, in the end. It was a little bit ago. But I still feel that they have a comfortable group to be able to make it out easily. It's just the bottom, the other team to make it through. It's going to have to be between Vivo and Zeta Division. I unfortunately don't see Crew making it as far as I thought they would, like in Iceland, for example, when we thought that they were overly prepared. I did see a lot of mistakes going on to that, although
I have seen some mistakes from Zeta Division 2, but Zeta Division for me is the type of team that may have some good like synergy, chemistry, and agent abilities to actually be able to move forward. So I think Zeta Division is going to get the upset win over Crew. I even think Crew's going to beat Vivo, fuck.
Why is that an upset for Zeta Division to beat Crew, do you think?
I think it's just for the region overall. It's like right now, this is what I find very hard, actually, for Crew Esports and for Zeta Division, is like Zeta Division and Crazy Raccoon are really good right now. They look very good. They do have firepower, and they just look great in terms of the roster. But they're good in their region. Once it comes down to playing the top-tier teams in like NA, EU, and Korea, for example, they just kind of fell flat. And same thing for Crew. They look super dominant in Latin America, and then they got, like, what, three rounds, including pistol rounds, against Fnatic only to get wrecked for the rest of the rounds.
I love that Envy comes third, is the lowest ranked NA seed, and gets this fucking group.
It's a joke. It's an actual joke. Yeah, it's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll send Envy and Vivo Keedstars through. I reckon they can beat Zeta Division. I'm a bit higher in the Brazilian region now. I think they fucked up pretty bad in Iceland, but they're cracked. They got such a density of players, so I'll give them that.
But even what Gati was saying before too, it's like they're still trying to find their identity since they came back from Iceland too, right? So hopefully they'll find it on time here, coming onto the big stage.
All right, Mitch.
All right. Well, this is a little bit of a different interpretation on things. I think Envy will win the first game. They'll meet Zeta Division in the upper bracket. They'll lose that match and go to lower bracket, and then Vivo Keed will eliminate. No, then they'll make it through the lower bracket. I think it's going to be Envy and Zeta, but I think Zeta is going to take that top spot.
Okay.
Simultaneously, because Zeta have been together so long, you know, Absolute Jupiter and all that, and NA dog shit. So
I did not predict Crew to go through. I said Vivo Keed, by the way. I don't think Crew are going to go through.
I'm going to be the agent of chaos here, because I think if we look at NA at international tournaments, just in general, like in League of Legends, in other titles as well, COD doesn't count because it's like the only thing that they, like, NA actually plays and no one else does. It's like your baseball, right? But I think it'll be so NA for them to get the, like, the easiest, most straightforward, I say easy, like inverted commas, like the most kind of straightforward route, and for them to not to make it through. I think Envy will, but just for the purpose of this, and I think it'd be kind of troll, I'm not going to put Envy as going through, because if they don't, I'm going to be like super five head. And if they do, then I've already told myself, like, I'm just trolling. Like, I know they have the highest chance of making it.
Yeah. See, we're blaming me for these troll picks or whatever, man.
It's the TSM League of Legends effect, you know, like, you make it to Worlds and you lose, you don't win a single game. But I think I'm going to go for Zeta and Vivo for this one, as the agent of chaos. I don't hate NA. I'm just trolling. So don't take it too far, chat. Yeah, Mitch fucking hates NA.
Clip just before that, chat. Clip just before that.
Yeah. Mitch hates NA with a passion. I'm just a big fat troll. Yeah, there you go.
I just love that, like, the month of May does not exist in European fans' heads. Like, nothing about what happened to Iceland. Surgically removed that part of their brain. No. Just
I was asleep through all of that.
Our players were fatigued from traveling over, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Our qualifier formats weren't that great, so they didn't get to play as many matches. And we could sit here for hours and discuss it. Maybe someday we will, but for now, I think it's safe to say that you know what happens at Masters really sets the tone for everything, unless it goes the same way, in which case,
yeah. But also,
in which case,
like,
you just disregard that entirely. Yeah. Look at
also,
champions.
Like, Canada won it. I'd say, like, I'm not gonna give it to, like, the United States. Like,
well, I hate to say
I'll give it to Canada. I love you, Canada.
Continent of North America, guys. I hate to break it to you. Yeah. That's like EMEA winning and me be like, what? Turkey fucking won it. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
I'm okay
for
that shit. I'm completely okay with that. I'm 100% okay with that. Like, you do not understand. If Supermassive Blaze wins that, I'm happy to be like, Turkey are gods. Like, fuck EU. Yeah.
I'm completely honest with you, Uber. I'll take it one step further. If five fucking emus won the fucking tournament, as long as they're not North American emus, I'm going to be happy. So I'm pretty easy man to please here.
Yeah, yeah, North American emus, man. Quite the interesting breed. All right, Group C, let's go. Let's keep on moving here. All right, Vans. This one here, you still have a horse in this race because Hunter Thieves is down there at C2. But let's talk about it. Who comes out of this group? Is it really that complicated?
I think it's going to be close between Hunter Thieves and Havon Liberty, to be honest.
I'm fucking waiting for you to be like, that's Gambit and Crazy Raccoon. Yeah, fucking no worries.
No, I think Gambit versus Hunter Thieves is going to be the funniest game of all time because it's literally going to be like, you go first. No, you peek first. Nah, we're good. No, you peek. It's like that Spider-Man meme. And like the whole game is basically like everyone's defense side is going to be insane. And then everyone's attack side is going to just come down to like 1 second.
Yeah. I could
it's
see
gonna
that.
It's going to be so funny. It's
I could
be
definitely see that.
That is that you have to remember Gambit have the Counter-Strike in their veins as well, right? So if it goes to shit and it's not working, they can always just say, hey, rush B, man. And it's easy peasy.
You're telling me that 100 Thieves that has 4 players coming in from Counter-Strike don't have the Counter-Strike blood in their veins?
I would like to clarify for the court that it's a North American Counter-Strike.
That carries a little bit more weight, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the CIS Counter-Strike is goated. Come on.
True. I mean, outside of Na'Vi, it's all like the old, like the young guns right now. And there's no
Angels on Hellraisers and like Flipside Tactics and stuff. Like with guys like Bondic and stuff, a lot of like the younger.
Yeah.
Like even guys like the Dead Fox and shit like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So.
But they weren't that great, you know. But anyways, we're digressing into a different game.
I don't agree. No, fuck off. No, CIS Counter Strike is very good.
Outside, they only. Yeah, well, today, yes, because there's a lot of, like, young players in CIS that are doing pretty good in Counter-Strike.
Just like the Gambit team.
Possibly. And then just outside of Na'Vi, not Envy. Outside of Na'Vi, the only thing I know about CIS is Jamie save time, so that's it. So
that's the only thing.
So right, based on that, Gambit's gonna save so many rounds and 100 Thieves. No. So out of seriousness, I think the upper bracket matchup finals is gonna be Gambit and is gonna be Gambit and 100 Thieves, with Gambit winning that one against 100 Thieves. Going to the lowers between 100 Thieves and Havon Liberty, I think just as Gati was saying, is like everybody triple initiator, bring it your sunglasses. There's gonna be a lot of flashes in this matchup. If we have the KO going through, but I still believe that 100 Thieves would beat Havon Liberty, and we'll have those two teams moving forward. So Gambit and 100 Thieves.
There can be no world where Gambit doesn't make it out, right? They're just I can't
no,
see any.
No,
I don't think
way.
So.
No,
I don't think so. Yeah. But they are super young too, right? Do they choke on land? Do they choke on stage? Is that what's going to happen? Do they have land experience?
Have you seen Nats's face?
True.
Yo, that guy doesn't choke at anything.
Will feel pressure? Yeah. Will he be? No.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think he feels anything.
Probably not.
Motherfucker looks like he can't choke on anything because he doesn't fucking eat anything. Yeah. Anyway, that's fine. Let's carry on.
But it's going to be fun, right? Nats versus Steel as a Sentinel, and if Steel dies, it's going to be like a Nats Fragger versus Asuna Fraggin. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, that team has so much power in their Sentinel role in terms of like an individual just doing insane shit. So that's the exciting factor about them. Yeah, okay. I'll take Gambit, Hunter Thieves, go through. Hunter Thieves can go through second. That's fine. All right, Mitch, you're up.
Similar enough opening matches. Gambit, Hunter Thieves go through. Gambit easily smack 100 Thieves to the lower bracket. And then they manage to probably scrape their way through, just about making it past, I'd say, Crazy Raccoons to make it.
There is upset potential in this group, I think, for like the bottom three.
Yeah,
I think Havon Liberty, yes. Crazy Raccoon even, actually, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was mulling a bit when I was watching Crazy Raccoon versus Northrend or whatever they're called. But it wasn't Crazy Raccoon that was playing bad. It was their opposition that just shit the bed in that series, unfortunately. But Crazy Raccoon with their 6-man, 7-man roster, whatever I said before, they're still pretty decent. But again, I think it's good for one map. Probably not a series.
Yeah.
I think this might be my favorite group just on balance. I think if every group was like this, it would just be the best tournament of all time. Because it's just it makes sense. The seedings make sense. The balance makes sense. Like the teams are supposed to be the stronger seeds. Everything just makes so much sense. It's beautiful.
So Rito.
Make Group A and this.
Group C.
I don't understand what happened there.
So Rito, according to Yinsu and to Mitchman, looks like EMEA only needs 3 slots in the future.
Who said that?
Well, so like that, they don't have to be in the same group, but they actually have four teams going through.
Well, the problem with the seeding system is that it's predicated on the fact that all the regions are equally strong, right? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I think EMEA, I think it's because obviously we have three regions in one region. I assume that's why we have more slots. But
like a billion in their one region, right? They get two.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of this group, I think, I feel like it, unless something goes catastrophically wrong, it's going to be Gambit versus 100 Thieves. Like I said, it's going to be either a smash-in or the slowest game of all time. Like, literally, it will finish like 96 to 94 or something. Because
I'm looking forward for Icebox between these two teams.
Back and forth, yeah. My only concern with Gambit is that back at stage two, they were very similar. Like, they were the most consistent team in practice for a long time. Like Angel said on the broadcast, we had him on the final. He was like, I love this team so much because they're the only team in Europe that takes practice so seriously as if they're playing officials. They never troll. They play the way they play in practice. They play that in officials. They're so consistent. They're impossible to beat. They're very disciplined. Like all these amazing things, which doesn't surprise you. It's CIS, FPS. Like they're going to take that shit seriously.
Yes.
This is not like a different Gambit that we saw in stage two in terms of the players and in terms of what they're doing. But stage two, the reason they fell is, I don't know if you guys watched that series against Fnatic, and the Fnatic boys would tell you this as well. Like, they were struggling, as in Fnatic were like, this is fucking tough. But the score doesn't reflect that because Gambit choked. They tripped a little bit and they crumpled under pressure. And that, I don't know. I mean, that could be fixed. But I don't know how long it takes to fix that. And I don't know if that's something that we're going to see on LAN, because I think the only reason, clip me, I think the only way that Gambit don't get to the finals of this tournament is going to be because of them. Like, I firmly believe, unless the bracket in the playoffs is dog shit and they get the hardest possible route after they come out of this group, I think the only way they don't reach that final is they fuck up themselves somehow along the way. I don't think anyone is massively better than them to be able to just easily knock them out or to knock them out.
Sentinels.
I think Sentinels versus Gambit would be a fucking banger. However, I think Sentinels versus G2 is going to be an even better game. We'll get onto that. But I think the way that they play and their confidence and the way that they counter teams, because like people don't understand that some of the ways that Gambit are winning is they are just hard fucking countering their opponents, like hard. And I think they could do that against most of the teams at this tournament. But I just worry so much for them about their mental and about whether they can choke or not, and see if they can get to that final. Obviously, I think Sentinels are the same. Like, I would make that exact same argument for Sentinels. I don't see them not being in the final unless the bracket is kind of like crazily fucked them over, you know? And again, I would say that Sentinels, if they don't make it, I don't think it will be because they're worse than somebody at this tournament.
Yeah, sure.
I think they're just going to trip over themselves. But the likelihood of them tripping over themselves is really, really low. And the likelihood of Gambit doing it, I don't know. 50-50. We haven't seen them on LAN. Who knows?
Who gets out of Group C then before we move on to that group?
Gambit, 100 Thieves. Yeah, I'd be trolling if I didn't go for it. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about Group D now, because this is kind of crazy. Yeah, I kind of know where you guys are going at the moment. We'll get Group D bracket up for you guys in just a moment. But we are dealing with Sentinels G2 in the first game. Unfucking real. I mean, yeah, it is. They're technically what, the lowest EMEA seed, G2, right? Yep. That's what fucking happens, I guess. And then we've got Brand and F4Q in the other side of the bracket, which is, I mean, half this group is an utter wild card, in my opinion. Yep. But go on, Vance, try and make sense of it.
It's going to be so difficult deciding between F4Q and G2 Esports. For sure, Sentinels is going to be able to win against G2.
Do you think that G2 and F4Q is going to be close?
Yeah. This is what I mean by the disrespect of G2.
G2 and F4Q is going to be close. G2 and F4Q is going to be so close that I can't decide between both of those teams, which is why I think the two teams moving forward are going to be Sentinels and Brent Esports.
Oh, you're such a dickhead.
Honestly, dude. I know it's not my turn, but I'm going to get this out quick. I think Sentinels and G2 make it through, but I think G2 beat Sentinels in that opening game, and then I think they both make it through. But I genuinely think if anybody that's going to beat Sentinels, I think we talk about those like kryptonite teams. Like I'm feeling it. I'm seeing it. Sentinels and G2 make it. But
you think stylistically that G2 are a kryptonite team for Sentinels?
No, not necessarily stylistically. No, but I think in terms of how G2 shithouse, because they shithouse, big. And I can see some kind of shithousery win out of this best of three. Obviously, they've never played against each other, so it's like impossible to even say how they would match up. But I feel like if it was any other EMEA team, I think Gambit might struggle. I don't think Supermassive Blaze beats them. I think Ascent also have a slight chance, but I think out of the four, I actually personally would back G2. And I honestly think that G2 makes it through as the first seed and Sentinels as second. But I don't think G2 makes it as far as Sentinels in the tournament. I just think in this specific matchup, I can see it.
So wait, you think
I see it.
What are you smoking?
Vans thinks that fucking Bren are getting through.
I know.
I can accept if he had said that F4Q would make it through, I'm not that mad.
I think this is salty because of myself.
I see it. Oh, I mean, fucking again, like, Bren, that's a fucking, a joke.
Dude,
right? That's a joke.
The positivity that I heard from Dax today and like how positive I could feel that Bren Esports is going to go into this tournament. Oof.
I'll tell you,
Vance, this is worse than the KO copium.
Yeah, this is fucking atrocious. This is offensive.
I'm looking forward to seeing Mitch and Tom cast Jesse Vash. Because I just think such an iconic name.
I've already cast Bren for like a month casting them at 5 a.m. And then I spent like a month and a half in Counter-Strike casting Wits and Borkum, I was saying earlier. So I'm familiar with this team, which is why I personally would have added those question marks at the end as well.
You were casting them last summer, man. Last summer, the game just came out. Just think about how much the game has evolved
it's
now.
A long time ago, but the fact that, I mean, you're just disrespecting G2 and F4Q, man. What the fuck?
It's so hard to choose between those two teams that I have to go with the third choice.
He's just going
to
go with...
I love how chat is more upset at me saying G2 is going to be Sentinels in one best of three than Van Silly saying Bren is going to make it out.
Vance is the kind of guy, he gets offered pizza and a hamburger. And he decides he has fucking nothing instead of both. He says nothing, goes hungry.
He just starts eating the fucking table. This guy just starts biting into the fucking metal table too, right?
I wonder what a table tastes like.
I don't know why.
Say Bren, but we're going to have a fucking problem. I'm just saying that right now.
He's going to say Bren and F4Q, isn't he?
I actually think the G2 and F4Q are coming out of this group. Something could go horribly wrong for Sentinels in this group.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Nope. Like, listen, if they lose to G2 in that first match, they have to go up against an F4Q with fucking nothing to lose, then yeah. Things could go wrong. It's very, very, very low chance. But yeah, that's my spicy take here. I think that somehow Sentinels don't even get out of this group.
I mean, I was trolling about Envy not getting out of this group. But come on. I mean, F4Q, they'll have the handsomest stage presence. I'll give them that.
True.
Long, long way.
With 5K? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I love all you fucking molding nerds in the chat. You fuel me, you little fucking peons. All right? Get angry. Show me how angry you are. Climb out of obscurity for that 5 seconds where you get to just screech your madness into the void before retreating forever. No one will remember your names. And everyone will remember my name as the guy with the fucking ridiculous prediction. That's how this is going
to
go.
Well, I mean, Mitch, I don't think you can top this. I think you have to join me on the regular prediction train.
I mean, I'm saying Sentinels.
Well, actually, I think he's going to say Sentinels and F4Q.
No, I'm going to say Sentinels and G2. I am going to say Sentinels
and
G2.
Okay, good.
I reckon G2 lower bracket close game versus F4Q. That is actually, I'll admit for once, that's a little bit of copium that I hope G2 fix a lot of the issues that they blatantly had when we saw them play before. Like, they have been sloppy. But
yeah.
Looking at those players, I know them very well, and I doubt they're sat there with, you know, kicking their feet back going, hey, we made it. I think they're putting a lot of work in. I think they're They're certainly not doing it in GIF form, whatever the fuck that was. This is it can't handle movement. Any sort of movement, and everything goes to shit.
Oh no, Mitch. Let me remind you that this is G2's home turf. Like, this is like Iceland, you know, everybody flying there, whatever, quarantine, all that crap. G2 have been in Berlin since the inception of G2, I'm pretty sure. This is G2's literal home ground. Like, they don't have to fly anywhere. They've played in Berlin like a billion times. They play from Berlin. Whenever League of Legends is on, at least, like, that is their home ground. That's their turf. And I think whether that plays into it or not, but, you know, we heard stories from Iceland of players like flying in super last second, having like not like subpar conditions when it comes to scrimming and getting used to the environment, getting used to the peripherals and all that stuff. Mainly G2, skip all of that. Literally skip all of that. They don't even have to go anywhere. They're already in Berlin.
It does give an advantage for European teams to play in Berlin because of time zones that are going to be a little bit more familiar for some teams. Versus NA.
All right, chat. I know you have one brain cell between all of you, but how is me saying it's their home turf equals they win easily? Like, I can't tell if you're deaf or stupid or your mom dropped you when you were a baby.
Oh my.
I'm saying it adds to the fact that G2 have a good chance of getting out of this group. And if you think that's me saying that they win easily, you have an issue. Bro.
Like, okay, so Castile in the chat says, I have an engineering degree. So did I. I fucking predicted G2 F4Q, motherfucker. Check my AP. That doesn't mean shit, bitch.
Oh, God.
I do believe for G2, though, that they had like some good signs before heading into the final stage, right? The open qualifiers, when Mixwell had a great game on Viper, when you had a great game on Killjoy as well, against Fnatic, if I'm not mistaken, too, at that point, too, on that Haven clutch that Mixwell was able to do. So they have some signs of greatness, right, with this new roster, but they also have some signs of where it just slips through their fingers when you think they come in confidently based on previous results and going into this, right? I feel, again, it's under that same storyline of where G2 and, like, TSM is currently at, where, unfortunately, TSM is back in that boat of, like, shit, we need to find a solution again. G2 is, like, just, like, at that line. Like, do they need to find something new? Do they have to rework on something? Or is it, like, okay, the G2 that we saw during the qualifiers is a G2 that we're going to see through Berlin? And if it's that G2 that we see throughout Berlin, for sure, I see them moving out of the group. And hopefully it's going to be the case, right? I'm just very supportive for Bren Esports right now.
Clearly.
I mean, you are very fucking supportive, man.
Yeah. There you go. Look at you spurred me on to greater heights of Papagery. So, I mean, let's see if any of us are correct. I think there's a good chance. I mean, some of us are taking this more seriously than others. I can respect that. There it is. That's our predictions. So we haven't done pick'ems, right? Because I know they came out today. Maybe we get a chance to do that at some other point, but basically, shout outs to those now. And which one of us is on the fucking juice? And which one of us is just really trying to do this by the book? That's up to you now, because see, everybody here has a flaw, right? I don't give a fuck. That's my flaw, right? But we've got real EU copium over here. And we've got this fucking herd merchant who's telling me that Bren are going to get out of the group. So there you go. Pick your poison, ladies and gentlemen. We've got all sorts for you. Thanks for joining us for Valoranting once more. Yinsu, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate getting your takes on these preds.
Thank you for having me, and I can't wait to see Vansili cry at Masters.
I don't need to cry. I need to cry. I'm just going to be crying tears when I see NA number 1, 2, and 3.
Fuck, we got to work on your banter, you Canadian fuck. See you next week. I assume we'll be talking more, I guess, in the lead up to Berlin. Thanks for coming by today. Next week, also, thank you very much. We finally reached 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Woo! That's incredible stuff. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you.
And thank you,
sub
of course,
if you think Vans. Sub if you think Vans is wrong. Come sub.
Also, sub if you think he's right as well. Actually, you should do that as well.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah. See you next week, 11 a.m. PT on Tuesday. Have a good week. We'll see you for the next Valoranting.